I'm sending to you. It isn't the love of a hero, and that's why I fear it won't do. And they say that a hero can save us. I'm not gonna stand here and wait. I'll hold on to the wings of the eagle, watch as we all fly away. And they're watching us, they're watching us, and we all fly away. And they're watching us, they're watching us.
Hey guys, good evening. It's another Friday night. It's time for Save City of Heroes Radio. Susie the Elf called a few, got in touch with me like just over an hour ago, said she can't make it. Tony V is going to co-host, but I'm having problems getting him on the call with me. I'm just typing to him now, trying to tell him to use Skype. To me, I tried adding him before, and the phone disconnected me from the station to him directly. So I am just here. Hold on. Sorry, guys. Sorry about that, guys. All right, here we are. There, I'm just contacting people. Yeah, I love all this last second stuff. I could try calling him again, adding him. Hold on. Sorry, we're trying to get Tony V trying to get him into the studio here. It's very. Let's see. Oh, we got some people. I'm sorry, guys. I see you all in the chat. Sorry about that. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that. No, 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 no. Wait, he's trying to call me directly. Oops. Sorry about that. Some early technical difficulties. Once we get that straightened out, we'll have smooth sailing for the rest of the show, I assure you. Actually, this is kind of funny. It reminds me of when I first started the other show I do, the Unstoppable Super Show. Because the show... Yeah, as someone always said, the first casualty is the plan of battle. Exactly. When we first started that show, people would always tune in because we'd always have some kind of major technical screw up in the first half hour of the show. I don't think Blog Talk and radio, for some reason, and Skype don't get along. And it's so funny because for those people in the chat, if you scroll up, we always say there's one of two ways of calling us. You call the phone number, which is 646-478-0073. Or if you're, say if you're in the chat room, scroll up to the top of the page. There's a blue square with that white S in the middle, and that stands for Skype. And you call in, it's a free call. And I always say, you know, free is good in today's economy. But for some reason, those who really have problems. I'm going to try and connect him again. I'm going to try and add him again. For some reason, though, I don't know what's going on with Skype tonight. I don't know why this is such a problem. Always something going on. All right, I'm going to try and add him one more time. If I go silent... I just got disconnected for a second. I will be right back. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can do this. All right, there he is. I'm going to click add to call. So if you don't hear me, and if you don't, if all of a sudden I go silent, I just have to call back in. So just give me like a minute, not even a minute, guys. Hold on a second. All right, there it goes. It's calling him. It's calling him. Please work. Tony, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, it worked this time. All right.
All right.
We are back in action, baby. All right. Technical difficulties.
I had technical difficulties on my end, too.
All right. And I hear myself. Why do I hear myself? Am I a clone? Are we in a time loop?
No.
Uh-oh. Do you have it on your radio there?
No.
Huh. All right, there it goes.
I'm actually on my phone.
Hmm. Oh, you're on your phone. All right.
Yeah, because I have Skype on my phone, so.
Right. All right, there it goes. I think it's gone now, so. I think we're all good.
So, yeah.
So.
I apologize. I had technical difficulties, too. My headset just totally cracked. Right above both headphones. So I try to put it on, and it's like, crap. I'm sitting there like trying to hold it up against my ears.
And that
just doesn't work.
Okay. I don't know why I thought. Okay, I'm looking at the announcement here. For those people in the Chicago area, tomorrow night is Cape Con 2013, a family reunion, they're calling it. And I think this is the last time DJ Shecky will be hosting it. And I know tonight they're getting together. I talked to Dietra last week. You were here for that.
I was here for that.
Yep. Dietra said they were going to call him tonight. It'd be cool to get DJ Shecky on. I have not talked to him, since the shutdown practically. Because right about that, the holidays were around. I couldn't listen to the Cape that much. And then February started with all my problems with my computer. I'm still waiting to hear back from them. They said it might take a few days because they have to check with their technical support council now. I had to go before the board. I don't know why. Because I'm like, look, it's two different headsets now. As we said last week, I got in touch with somebody Monday. As a matter of fact, I got in touch with the same rep who was supposed to see this through step by step the last time, and she apologized to me. She said, I don't know what happened. For some reason, they didn't even tell me that the computer came in. I was off that day, and they were supposed to say something. I was like, all right, whatever. I'm like, well, look, here's the deal. I'm ready to send the laptop. I'll send the laptop back with the headset I always use. You know, I have this other one I could use, but this is just getting ridiculous. I was like, come on, now it's two different headsets. It's not the headset.
I would be inclined to agree.
Oh. All right, so anyway, I want to say this. So this is why I haven't tuned into the Cape that much. I usually do listen to it when I'm not during the day. I put it on because, you know, nighttime here on this network, which is the Back to Basic network, they always have shows on like every single night we have shows. But it's always good to listen to the Cape and, you know, when you're playing games. You know, what's funny, though, since this whole problem has happened, I got the Secret World. I had a free account and then, you know, the trial thing, and then my folks are cool. And as a bonus Christmas gift, because I'm always house-sitting for them and taking care of everything here for them, there was a sale on Steam the one day. I said, oh, look, there's a sale. And they said use the joint credit card, and I picked that up. But I haven't reloaded it back on my computer, because I know Champions Online and The Secret World are the two main games the Cape, you know, broadcasts from. Although, you can listen to it from anywhere. You know, it's just fun to go and hang out with them all. But anyway, tomorrow night, July 13th, 2013, at Alice's Lounge at 3556 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois, 60618, will be the official Cape Con 2013 gathering. I know Dietra said there's some gathering tonight. I think that's at DJ Shecky's house. That's a little informal thing. And I did ask her, you know, between 7 and 9, you know, give a call, you know. Put the speakerphone on there, and we'll talk to everybody from there. Basically, so I'm reading the promo from the Cape website itself, which is thecaperadio.com. And it says, meet Cape listeners from all over the world in a relaxed setting. Festivities start at 8 p.m. tomorrow. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central, which is 9 p.m. Eastern. 2 hours of dedicated karaoke at 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern. After the 2 hours of dedicated karaoke, there will be open karaoke afterward till the bar closes. 21 and over only, because it is a bar, RSVP at http://tcr2013.eventbrite, event, and then bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E as one word, .com. But I'm sure they have full court. Because I'm looking at this, and I responded earlier, you know, give a call tonight, whatever's going on, and that's on page 8 of the responses, so... I wish I could be there.
I wish I could too. I'm a little far away tonight for that.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm a little bit closer than you. I think to Chicago, right now. I'm up in New York, so. Also, speaking of comic book events, I closed the window on that. But next weekend, July 18th to the 21st, is the 2013 San Diego International Comic Con.
Woohoo!
That's the big one, baby. Sadly, I am not going to that either. Believe me, if I was going, you would know.
You know, one of these days I'd like to go to that, but oh my gosh, man, there's so much hoopla around it, and it's always so crowded, and you can't get tickets. And
well, tickets go on. You know what we gotta do, Tony? I think you know that idea we have for that video show.
Uh huh.
I think after we did that for a few months, we get some notoriety, we could get in. It'd be easier for us to get in.
You think so?
Well, I know it's Geek and Sundry. They said they had no problem getting in. I think if you're a celebrity of some kind, you know, it's like, oh, you're celebrities?
I'd love to go and meet the Geek and Sundry people. I know that there's a bunch of, not just Comic-Con, but I know there's like a bunch of parties around too. Like Geek and Sundry set up in some, I don't know whether it's a hotel or a restaurant or whatever, but they, you know, it's not at Comic-Con.
Right, it's like, in the air, it's at the hotel.
It's in the convention, but it's around Comic-Con, and you can go and do all sorts of stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Esmer Roy has just said, I know he said this before, he calls it the San Diego International Media Trade Show because it stopped being a comic convention years ago.
Yes. Well,
well,
that's like, you know, Dragon Con here in Atlanta. I mean, they've got all sorts of, I mean, it sort of started out as fantasy theme, but it's all kind of sci-fi and...
Mm-hmm.
It all sort of bleeds together after a while.
Well, I'm going to mention this one since you mentioned Dragon Con. Up here on Long Island, we have Icon, which is what, and seriously, I mean, I've heard from media guests also, they say it's the Northeast's biggest convention for comic books, fantasy, sci-fi. And it is more sci-fi, but anime has taken, the last 7 years, I'm going to say 7 or 8 years, anime has taken over so much. It is more anime heavy. You know, and obviously you have to go with the flow of what's popular, but oh my God, don't take away from the other things.
I gotta admit, I'm not a huge anime fan.
Oh, I'm not either. I just know when you see, like, a lot, excuse me, when you see cosplayers, and I always say this, if you see cosplayers and you don't know what they're dressed as, that's the anime.
I do love cosplayers, though.
I think it's great. I mean, they're very dedicated. As a matter of fact, I have fans on Facebook, a few of the women who do that, very beautiful women who take the time to do this. As a matter of fact, some, a couple of them now, they're so popular, they make money doing the cosplay. A couple of them, it turns out that their costumes are so good and they're just very beautiful in the costumes. People actually buy the picked photos from them. And that's how they make, I think it used to be a secondary source of income for them, and now they're saying that it's becoming like a main income for them. Because a couple of them put out like yearly calendars and all that.
Well, good.
I remember back in the day, oh, you're a geek, and that was such a bad thing. The Geek Nation has taken over the world, people. If you haven't noticed that already. And I just want to say this, they always talk about revolutions, and if it's a revolution, the revolution isn't an event, it's a process. And more so, over the last few years, I've slowly seen it becoming predominant, considering like the Big Bang Theory, that TV show.
I'm not, you know, I gotta admit, I'm not a big fan of that show.
Why not?
Well, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that there's at least one writer on it that's not sort of taking it in the spirit of like enjoying the geekdom, but more poking fun at it, and that gets on my nerves. Like they do a lot of jokes that I think are kind of in poor taste. Like what was it? I was watching it the other night, and I got sort of teed off at them and ended up turning it off because, I mean, it's just one of those little throwaway jokes about, you know, the standard, you know, geeks living in their parents' basement and, you know, all geeks are virgins and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and they made some little wisecrack about, you know, not knowing what to do with a woman or something like that. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. I mean, what is this, like 1980s?
Yeah. We got to admit, those people, the ones on the show, you know, you got to remember, with the show, they take the most extreme example.
Oh, I know, but don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the show's not funny at all, because they do make, you know, a lot of inside references and such to science and geek sort of stuff, culture, but at the same time, sometimes I think it's not quite in, sometimes it just is downright mean-spirited, and that sort of gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
If you watch it with an eye towards, you know, there's somebody on that writing staff that's, you know, feeling intimidated by geeks and likes to write the throwaway, you know.
Oh, well, that's true. But, you know, it's funny now, all of them have girlfriends.
Oh,
one of them got married. You know, and it's funny, like Sheldon, they explain his whole thing. He's just not into the whole physical contact thing. As a matter of fact, last year, I think the season finale or the couple of episodes beforehand, Penny was confronting him, like, what's your future plans with, I can't remember the girlfriend's name now. And he goes, well,
the former,
her. I can't believe that's her either. I remember, I was like, she looks so familiar, and I found out who it was. I'm like, no, that's her. You got to be kidding me. Because Amy, thank you, Triple S. But the actress, I remember, what was the name of the show she used to do when she was a teenager? You know,
Blossom?
The show. Blossom, thank you. Yeah, I was like, that's Blossom? Like, oh, my God.
Oh, I loved her. I loved her on Blossom.
I just thought that was funny. I never made a connection. I don't know. Because when she wears the glasses, it doesn't look like her, but I saw her on the Craig Ferguson, the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. And he has a mole. He's a fan of the show, and he has a mole on once in a while. And she was on without the glasses. Like, oh, yeah, now you see more of the, you know, now it looks like her. But the point was, Sheldon was saying that, oh, yeah, if we keep going out, I could see myself getting more comfortable and actually having physical contact with her and having a sexual relationship. Penny's jaw almost dropped when he said that. But he has to tell you, he gives his whole explanation why he's not comfortable with that whole thing. So,
well,
they're getting over it.
Him, yeah, but they do it. It's not just him, though. It's not just a character thing. If you watch it, they do sort of knock geeks on there that, in a way that, like I said, it's not in that sort of, and don't get me wrong, they do, you can tell that there are, it's like I said, it's almost like the writing staff is sort of schizophrenic or something, because it's like you can tell that there are people on the writing staff who kind of embrace the geek culture and they make the references and they sort of, you know, they get the inside geek culture thing.
Right.
But there's at least one or two writers on that staff that I'm convinced are sort of your stereotypical, you know, comic, you know, I guess I'm sort
the
of at a loss of words to describe it. Yeah, they
the
sort
negative
of
geek, the negative geek.
Yeah, they make fun of the negative geek stereotype.
Yeah. I see it. You know what it is, though? And then I remember they went to the comic book shop. They had that. Was it Valentine's Day? They had the party there, and they had all the geeks on. But I think in that situation, they took the most extreme example of geeks.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you know, I don't know if you were a geek like me, but in high school, you know, I was picked on mercilessly because I was, you know, big time into math and computers and Star Trek. And
oh,
you know,
I was picked on because I was like 50 pounds overweight. And I was
Just
shy, so that's why I was picked on all the time. I was just shy and quiet.
But you know, and the kids, you know, they used to make these sort of mean-spirited jokes. And it's funny, I mean, once you get out of high school, I wish I could tell, you know, every geek in high school, just, you know, bear with it a little bit longer. Because once you get out of high school...
Oh, yeah,
like,
once you get... Once you get to college,
it goes away almost instantly. Yeah, when I got to college, it's
totally
like,
different. To all
oh yeah, everybody treated me like, you know, a normal person. But
like I was in. I'm going to say this. I'm sorry. I was in the comic books and I was a writer and I was made fun of for that in high school. The second I got to college, and I lost the weight, you know, and all of a sudden I was like the big man on campus. I was like, wow. I was like, well, if I had known this when I was in high school, it would have been worthwhile. Trust me, to the geeks of the world, once you get that out of high school, once you get to college, it's a totally different world. It's a golden palace for you.
It really is. I wouldn't say I wasn't like a big man on campus or anything, but I was just, it was so nice to be treated like a normal adult person, you know? In high school, it's like a totally different world. In high school, you know, you have all these little cliques and stratus, you know, stratus of, you know, social structure and everything. And then once you get to college, it's like, well, everybody's just a normal adult, you know, human being. And they don't make fun of you. They don't care how you dress. They don't care if you like comic books or Star Trek or whatever. It's just like, well, I guess there are some who probably carry that into college, but I didn't run across it that much. Because you got to understand, when I went to college, I was taking calculus and physics and chemistry.
Right, so you were in your own environment. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the people who would have made fun of me, you know, they were probably taking, I don't know what they were taking, but
I think
they
all
weren't,
people who, I'm going to say.
They weren't taking physics.
I think all the ones who were making fun of you in high school, they went into those classes and failed out.
Well, I don't know.
But he would have went to you to be tutored.
But even like in the English and history classes that everybody had to take, you know, nobody made fun of me for how I was. It was,
you know, once you get to college, your intelligence is valued and revered. Okay, in the chat, Triple S says he calls them nerd haters. SM Loy, simple to call them idiots, and then remedial English.
Yeah, I guess that's what they were taking. The BBs. I had a high school teacher who called them BBs. It stood for bimbos and bozos.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know where all of them ended up, but what they would major in.
What's funny is like a lot of them are still in this area, and sadly I've run into a few of them here and there, and pretty much most of them are the same exact way they were in high school. As a matter of fact, I found out about 5 years ago. So I graduated, oh God, this is going to age me. I graduated high school class of 88. Back in 2002, I ran to somebody I went to high school with at physical therapy, and I missed the 10th anniversary. One of my friends screwed up. Anyway, that's not important. But anyway, she goes, oh yeah, people were there, and people who fought in high school, they met up there at the party, and they still had a grudge for each other. And they wound up fighting, and they said they had to call the police and have them taken away, and they basically had to end the reunion party.
Oh, good grief.
I was like, really? I was like, wait, so you mean this is like 10 years after they graduate, like move on with your life, look back on it, laugh, say, yeah, sorry, douchebag, well, whatever you're going to say. No, let's keep the grudge, whatever the grudge you had from 10 years earlier, you're still going to hold this grudge for 10 years.
It was that important.
Oh, my God.
I didn't go to my high school reunions. We've had like two of them, I think. But and the reason is simple is I just didn't keep up with those people. I didn't care about those.
I didn't either. Once I left, so many people, you know, like I said, put me down. I just ignored them all. And a friend of mine, though, he remembers them all. He goes, hey, you remember this one? I was like, dude, he was a dick to you in high school. And he goes, oh, no, but he's cool now. It's like, no, I think he just grew up or, you know, the bullshit ended. But now I graduate 88. So 98 was the 2008 should have been the 20 year. And this year should have been the 25th anniversary. I never heard anything about either one of them.
Yeah, you're old.
God damn. I'm going to be 40. I'm 42 right now. I'm enjoying that number because the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I try explaining to my nephew why I'm embracing 42 right now. So.
Yeah, but you're going to, like, die in 2 or 3 years or 5. Or
holy crap, man. We better get this video show going. Holy shit.
I know. Get something going for posterity already.
I know. That's from Aloysius, the best revenge is seeing them behind the counter at McDonald's. Yes, quite so.
I don't know. I honestly.
Do you remember Clerks 2? Did you see Clerks 2?
I did not see Clerks 2, no.
I'm going to ruin it. There's a little spoiler in it. All right, you know. you remember the guys from Clerks, the same cast, Dante and Randall. They're working at a movies, you know, the food franchise from, you know, they call it the Skewniverse, the View of Skewniverse. It's Kevin Smith's universe for all his movies. They're working at one of these places, and this guy walks in, and it's Jason Lee playing this guy who was a geek. I think that was him playing it, and he played this geek in high school they made fun of, and he goes, oh, yeah, I made this website, and it became, like, one of the top web browsers. He goes, yeah, I made $500 million off of that.
Well, that's kind of why geek culture sort of took off is, I mean, now geek culture is an entirely different beast than it was when I was growing up. Because
oh, me
now
too, yeah.
Geek stuff is sort of mainstream today. I mean,
like, I remember growing up, and the only cool cartoons we had when I was going to high school, like, no one really talked about it. It was G.I. Joe and Transformers and He-Man. And it was so funny, like, no one would talk about cartoons, but then when you got people on the side, you hear them, like, if this song, like this radio station we had, they would play like little snippets of it in the afternoon for some reason, and like on the school room, you would hear them. You would hear it on the radio that the bus driver would play, and all of a sudden everybody would start singing it. Everybody's like, "Oh yeah, no one watches those shows, right?" And everybody would joke around. But yet, in quiet solitude, everybody was a bit of this geek. But everybody was cool for it.
I used to watch all those old cartoons.
Oh yeah,
I was a huge cartoon fan when I was a kid, and it sort of carried over into high school. And in fact, when I got to college, I remember, I mean, in high school, you would never tell anybody you watched, like, cartoons when you got home from high school, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because cartoons were kid stuff. But I do remember when I got to college, gosh, there were a few, I guess, probably around the time of Darkwing Duck was kind of the first considered cool cartoon that, you know.
Okay, you know what? I was so busy with college back then. When that came out, I missed that one.
Oh, man, that was a great cartoon.
I heard that was a good one. I'm sure I could go on Netflix
and
find
it. Then they had Tiny Toons, which, of course, was awesome. And
all right, Tiny Toons came out right after I graduated college, so I did catch that one.
And Animaniacs. And,
oh,
and
I love
Pinky
Animaniacs.
Brain. And
I love those ones. Yeah, those came out the fall right after I graduated college, so I was able to catch those.
I've got to admit, though, I can't stand the whole Adult Swim cartoon thing. Those just...
Some are hit or miss for me. Like, I love Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Metalocalypse, I love.
I still love The Simpsons. That really is old school. That show is, what,
25 years.
28 years
20,
now?
20, I think they just celebrated the 25th anniversary.
I don't
88, because 89 it came out. Oh, so next year would be the 25th. Next year would be.
It's still
hilarious,
though.
Oh, yeah, Triple H. I watch Ninja Turtles all the time. Yeah, I watch Ninja Turtles. As a matter of fact, I remember a friend of mine, I have one issue of the original Black and White series and the comic book series. And a friend of mine had the whole run. And I remember I was telling somebody, we had a Sam's Club up here, and they had all four of the books that were the compiled comic book series. But they colorized them. I got the first two. And I went back. I swear to God, something happened. I went back the next day to grab the other two, and they sweared me. Like, somebody came in and bought all the other copies up, and they had just gotten the shipment in the day before. I'm like, you're kidding me. So, and I found them, and I was looking downstairs in my basement. I think like a year or two ago, I went and brought them upstairs, and I found them yesterday. And it's graphic novel 1 and 2, but they colorized them, but they were the original black and white comic book. And they looked different. And then I found out right about Christmas time, one of the companies that did statuettes of them, of what they look like in the black and white comic book, because they were drawn a little bit different than what they look like now. And they made them look black and white. These grays and blacks and whites to draw them all.
I wasn't a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. I watched it a few times, but...
Yeah, the original cartoon was different than the comic book. See, if you were a fan of the comic book, you watch a series, and when you first saw it, you're like... Wow, they totally changed it up. But it was cool. And they even had a role-playing game. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, it was a big book, and you can make up any type of animal. You could play the turtles if you wanted to, but you can make up your own characters. So I had a character, Ronin Ricky the Rabbit. And I was like a samurai rabbit.
I never got much into the whole Japanese culture thing, though.
Oh, I was. I think when I'm, because up here growing up in the 70s and early 80s, on Saturday afternoon, they had the Channel 5 drive-in theater, and it was always a kung fu movie from the Shaw Brothers.
Oh, now, I did watch the kung fu movies when I was a kid. We had a little independent station that would show it at noon.
Well, it's fine. We call them, were they kung fu? I guess they would be kung fu because they're Chinese, yeah. So there was kung fu theater, we always call it. But, yeah. And it's so funny because they were edited, because I remember watching them. And then about 5 years ago up here, the cable company got this channel called the Kung Fu HD Network. They closed them like 2 years ago, went out of business, unfortunately. I know, it was great because I had DirecTV and I had to switch over to cable. And I'm like, how long have you guys had this channel? And like 3 years. I'm like, what? So, I mean, that channel was on like 24/7 on my TV. Because every day they show different movies, so I was always recording different movies to watch.
Oh, I used to love watching those old kung fu theater movies.
And what's funny is with the Shaw Brothers, it's like I remember watching these movies when I was a kid. Like, oh, I remember, but there were scenes in there that they took out. I'm like, because they were too violent, you know, for TV here. But, you know, I guess because of the Kung Fu Channel, they showed them in their original, you know, viewing, and they were just really cool to watch.
See, I'll have to watch some. Hey, you know what I got last week? Man, what? Last week was like Christmas. Let me tell you. I got, first and foremost, the most expensive thing I got is I got a new yard guy to come out, and I don't do the whole mow the lawn and trim the hedges. I used to do that stuff, but man, let me tell you. In Georgia, in the summer, when it's like 100 degrees outside, I don't do that. So, but my yard, I had some guys who used to take care of it, and they just did a terrible job. So I got a new guy out here and paid him a lot of money, but they trimmed the shrubs and cut my trees and the whole nine yards. So that was one thing. That was pretty nice. Now my yard looks good. The second thing I got, though, the cool thing is I got a brand new 40-inch HDTV.
Ooh.
So, it's the first HD TV I've had. So I'm now joining the high def generation of watching stuff, and it's a smart TV. So it's great. I can watch like Amazon and Hulu and all that, Netflix. It just streams it straight to the TV. I don't have to have a special device or anything like that.
Triple S just said, "Ooh, you're moving up in the world."
I am moving up in the world. I had to go to the cable company and get new HD boxes. All nine yards.
I just had an interesting conversation with my stepbrother the other night about HD TVs, because they call them HD, and I said, "Well, if everybody gets HD TVs and HD becomes the norm, do you still call it HD after a while?"
Well, yeah. I mean, HD versus standard def. Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, but my point was this, like, all right, the new thing everybody's moving up to is HD.
Yeah, and the new thing after that, it's already out. It's what is it called, 4K or something like that?
He said it was called 4D. I'm like, it can't be 4D, because 4D is the fourth dimension is time travel. And if they have that, holy cow, that's awesome.
Well, that means you can watch old shows on it. But no, you can watch shows from the future.
That would be great for sporting events.
But no, yeah, the next is 4K. And they call it that, I think, because it's, what, 4,000 or 4,096 or something like that, pixels resolution.
Wow. Okay, now I can understand. Okay, I could go with 4K rather than 4D, because I'm like, 4D doesn't make sense.
Those are really expensive, though, and there's no programming for it yet, so. Okay. But yeah, that's the next one. But there aren't that many TVs out there that support that resolution.
I was gonna say okay. That's more what I just said. Oh no, Triple S says one day we'll get XD extreme definition. It'll be like standing an inch away from the person's face.
I'm all for that. You know, I like, you know, looking at people's pores.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, on Family Guy they made fun of that. They had this thing where their news network was going HD, and the hot female reporter also went HD, and you could see all her pimples and cracks. Everybody just freaked out, and they shut the show off, and they had to fire her the next day.
Oh, I've heard of actors complaining about that, because they don't like the high def, you know, you can see everything. Okay. Especially if you have, I mean, you don't think about this stuff, but, you know, if you have, like, a nose hair hanging out or something stupid like that, it's like it picks up all that stuff. But
that's
the
society
thing,
we live in. That's the society we live in. Everything's, you have to be flawless. Looking.
I also got a little bit of City of Heroes related merchandise. I bought myself another Atlas Park T-shirt. So I have another. This one's brown, an AP-33 T-shirt. So woohoo!
Oh, as someone just said, HD shot down porn for a while until they figured out how to filter skin to hide complexion defects. Ew.
Well, you know.
Well, that's important to them. Okay, so in the chat while we were talking, as someone mentioned, some of the older anime, like Gigantor, Tetsuan Adam, Eighth Man, Jungle, Emperor Leo, and I mentioned Star Blazers and Battle of the Planets, and of course, as someone said, the actual name was Space Cruiser Yamato and Science Ninja Team Gatchaman. And then we were talking, because there were two robots in the show in the U.S., Seven's Arc 7 and One Rover 1, and they had to add it into the U.S. because they had to take out all the really violent scenes. And they said in the opening credits, the first scene of Gatchaman, which is our Battle of Planets, there were 22 people killed violently on screen.
Yeah,
I would love
that stuff.
Oh, I remember when they brought it back out again about 10 years ago. Somewhere in the last 10 years, they brought back Battle of Planets, but they called it G-Force. And they redid the voice acting, and it was, like, worse. They said they updated the voice acting, and the script was more toned down for the kids. And that's why I can't stand. It's like when we were growing up, we had Looney Tunes, okay, in the 70s. And I know in the 80s, they made this big deal, like we talked about this before, how parents, they wanted the kid, the TVs to be their babysitters, and they didn't want to take responsibility. So they had to tone down the violence. Well, I still remember certain cartoons I watched when I was a kid, violent scenes, but they thought, you know, as a kid, you think it's funny because you say, you know, your parents got mad, you're watching, like, but they're cartoon animals. Real people can't do this. You know, so, like, we were intelligent enough in the 70s to know, you know, that these violent things are happening because they're in the cartoon world. In the real world, you can't do this stuff. In the 80s, for some reason, the parents can tell the kids that it's a cartoon world. You can't do this stuff. You know, they don't want to be bothered.
I guess it's a little different when you're looking at cartoon animals versus, like, people. It's sort of like video games. You know, it's the whole thing about, you know, what's the difference between shooting Nazis in Castle Wolfenstein and shooting aliens in Doom? Really, there's not that much. But for some reason, Castle Wolfenstein sort of gave people the willies because, you know, you're blowing people away. It's not just sort of graphic cartoon violence.
It's like I tell people, it's a video game. You play them because it's not reality. You do things in the game that you can't do in reality. Like I remember, like I said last week, I played Warhammer 40K. There was a game that came out called Gorkamorka. I mentioned that also. And I like the fact that you could take your truck and run over some of the other guy's orcs. I thought that was really funny. And so somebody made a comment. One of my friend's girlfriends made a comment like, well, I better watch out when you're driving. And she was a little serious. I'm like, hold on. I was like, yes, I want to do it here because it's a game. No one's really going to get hurt. You know, we're not even going to run over the models for real. We're going to move them out of the way and simulate the fact I'm running them over. In the real world, I wouldn't even think of doing that. As you know, there are people I get mad at, and I wish it would happen. You know, somewhere in my mind, I'm like, oh, if I could just get away with it once, I'd do it. But then part of me is like, I don't think I can live with the consequences. That's the difference. I tell people, there's a game. Again, back to the geek culture. Comic books, fantasy, sci-fi. That's fun because it doesn't happen in the real world. And I think with the geek culture, we could separate the two. We know how to separate them. The non-geek culture, if for some reason they think this is how we view reality.
Unless you're Tom Hanks.
In that one movie. Maze of the Monsters, which I forgot about until you just mentioned it. Damn it. Okay, SM always says, yeah, again, they, like I was saying, they also cut the episodes again more heavily to make it more, quote-unquote, suitable for younger audiences. Well, that's like on Cartoon Network, I said, they canceled that show Young Justice, which I thought was a great cartoon last year, and they brought back Teen Titans, but they brought back Teen Titans Go, which is based more off of the little comedic 30-second or 60-second cartoons they did during the commercial breaks. And I was watching, I swear to God, they had a two-hour marathon on the one night, and I was watching with my nephew, and we're sitting there going, wow, they don't fight anything in these things.
I don't know. You know, I was raised on Super Friends, you know.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice.
Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice. I always love this one with Aquaman. Aquaman, King of the Seven Seas, summons a giant mollusk. Well, shit, if I was Aquaman, I'd summon a school of killer sharks.
Yeah, what was the...
Yeah, it's the Oh, on Cartoon Network, on Adult Swim, they made fun of that one night. They would take footage, and they would alter it a little bit. And, like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are tied up. And he goes, Wonder Woman, my ability to talk to telepathic sea life on this planet, on this desert planet, is totally useless. And she had this look on her face like, no shit, Sherlock. But like I tell people, don't view the Super Friends as the real DC comic version of the Justice League. They made all of them look like tools.
I did. I loved that show, man.
Growing up, I loved it. But looking at it now, it's like, oh my God, it was so bad.
Well,
it was so good. We loved it.
But it was for kids. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah.
It's not the same as, you know, cartoons today. Well, you know, right up until Batman. I remember when the Batman cartoon came out, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh wow, this is a lot different.
Oh, the new one, the Dark Knight, the one on Channel 5?
No, the Batman, like the one that came out in the mid 90s. You know,
that was the one that was on Channel. Well, it was on Channel 5 because there was one, The Adventures of Batman, and it was on Fox 5. It was on Fox 5, and it was on Robert Conroy doing the voice of Batman. Mark Hamill did the voice of the Joker.
Yeah.
It was the original one. Yeah. You know that one Emmy Awards, Daytime Emmy Awards it won for Best Kid Show a couple of times?
I don't know. Yeah. It was a really good show, though. I really enjoyed watching it.
Oh, I got to mention, speaking of that, tomorrow morning, Cartoon Network, 10 a.m. Eastern, new Batman cartoon, Beware the Batman, begins.
I haven't kept up with it. I did watch Justice League when it was on.
Yeah, but I just found this out during the week somehow. I was flipping through the channels, and for some reason I stopped at Cartoon Network, and I swear to God, my controller gets possessed. It'll stop at a channel, won't move. Like, won't change channel. I'm like, why are you here? Come on. And the commercial came out, I said something for Batman. I'm like, wait, that Batman's drawn different. And it's for a new video game, new game on the Cartoon Network website. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, isn't there supposed to be a new Batman cartoon coming out? And so I was able, once the thing started working, I went to this weekend, and tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. is the new Beware the Batman cartoon. So it starts tomorrow morning.
I don't know. Of course, I also grew up on the Adam West, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love that show. Oh, my God.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
That's my favorite line from that movie. Every time I mention that movie to somebody, they always quote that line. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Oh, my gosh. Did you ever watch The Man Show that came on Comedy Central?
Yeah, I watch it once in a while, but I never knew. I always, like, was busy when it was on, so I always go, oh, I just missed it.
Did you ever watch the, they had a segment on there called, what was it called, Wheel of Destiny or something like that?
Yes.
Where they would spin and they had all these screwy things on there, and they would have, the good things they would have is stuff like, you know, Juggies Sandwich. And I remember one of the good things they had on there was you could ride in the Batmobile with Adam West. And they actually had the Batmobile with Adam West. And some guy spun that, and he goes and gets in the car, and Adam West drives right off the stage.
Oh, very cool.
And one of them, I remember one time, they had the screwiest. They had stuff like Jimmy pees on your wallet or Adam shaves your eyebrows, you know, stuff like that. And they had one time they had Rowdy Piper on there. And one of the things on the Wheel of Destiny or whatever it was called was Get Body Slammed by Rowdy Roddy Piper. And some guy spun it. He came down there. Sure enough, Rowdy Roddy. Now, keep in mind, Rowdy Roddy Piper's, you know, he's getting on up there.
So, yeah.
This isn't like 1983.
Oh, yeah, I know.
This is like, 1998. So he was getting on up there. But, he picked the guy up over his head pretty handily, and they had mats, you know, down under so that, you know, the guy wouldn't break his spine or anything. And Rowdy Roddy Piper lifted the guy up over his head, body slammed him on the stage. It was great. And I could never figure out, was that supposed to be a bad thing or a good thing? Because, you know, on some level, it's like, getting body slammed by Rowdy Roddy Piper. That would actually be kind of cool.
I know. I think it was just a fact, like, yeah, when the show, I got body slammed by Hot Rod. Awesome.
So,
I don't know. I think it was mixed, depending on how you want to look at it.
But, yeah, I remember that. They had the ride around in the Batmobile with Adam West was one of the Wheel of Destiny things.
That's awesome. I want to say this really quickly. We have a birthday today.
Woohoo! Is it mine?
No.
Okay.
Nobody City of Heroes related. He was born July 12th, 1909. He died July 3rd, 1933, right before he turned 84. He was born Joseph Wardell, an American comedian who is best known as the sixth member of the Three Stooges and the second Curly. I'm speaking of none other than Curly Joe Derita.
Okay.
He was the Curly Joe in the movies. He came after Joe Besser. And depending on what story you listen to, the Stooges wanted Derita, and they didn't get along with Besser at all. Besser was just horrible. As a matter of fact, I don't even consider Besser one of the Stooges. As a matter of fact, if I see on TV a Besser Three Stooges thing, I'll change the channel for 15 minutes.
I honestly had not given much thought to it. I wasn't a big Stooges fan. Yeah. I watched a little bit of it. But
if you have IFC Network on Saturday mornings between 9, depending what time they start till noon, anywhere from 8:30 to 9:30 and goes to like noon, they do a Three Stooges marathon every Saturday morning.
There used to be a Three Stooges cartoon I used to watch.
Joe Derita, he was the Curly in that one. He was in that one by the time they did the cartoon. That was Joe Derita.
Well, there you go.
And I guess I'm going now back to the cartoons for a minute. That's what gave cartoons like Rocky and Bullwinkle their longevity. They had jokes scattered through the cartoon that you need to be an adult to get, so kids and adults could both enjoy it. Exactly. As a matter of fact, most of the Looney Tunes, they start out as the short subjects in before movies started.
Oh, yeah, they had like the little, before the movie, they'd show you cartoons.
As a matter of fact, Pixar does that. A couple of Pixar movies I went to see at the movies, they did a short cartoon in the beginning.
Well, some cartoons were sort of kind of adult-oriented. I mean, the whole Betty Boop thing and stuff that wasn't for kids.
Oh, yeah, because I remember watching, like, especially the Bugs Bunny ones. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't get half of what he was saying back then because I was 4 years old. And now I watch the older ones and we're going, wow. I'm like, oh, my God, I never realized he said that.
You ever watch the cartoon? And they're hard to find, but sometimes every once in a while you'll run across them on YouTube or something where they have like the old Bugs Bunny cartoons that are Looney Tunes that were like just blatantly racist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And you look at them today and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they made that.
You know what's funny?
The cartoon characters in blackface and stuff like that. And you're just like, no, why would you do
Okay, I want to say
this. It was a different era, but
now. Growing up in the 70s, Channel 5, looking back now, the Channel 5 we have had up here, WNYW, they had the coolest things on TV. Every weekday afternoon, they had an hour of the Little Rascals. And we were talking about one time when I was at work, and I saw they had on sale. It was I got this thing for $80. It was a complete DVD collection of the Little Rascals. I got them, and I was sick for a week. I had a bad sinus infection. I said, you know what? This is the perfect time. I'm going to put it on. And I just watched the whole thing as a massive marathon. Some of those were so racist, there were scenes that weren't even on TV in the 70s.
I don't doubt it. I mean, you know, TV in the, you know, especially the early TV shows, the 40s and 50s. I mean, man, they put all sorts of stuff on that.
Oh,
you look at it and it's like, what were you thinking?
Well, you know, it's funny now. I think it was Bill Cosby. He bought the rights for the Little Rascals because he doesn't want them shown ever on TV because of the racism that was in them. And a lot of people have looked negative a bit long. Dude, you might as well show them and show people the history of TV.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, stuff like, I mean, like the old, you know, like the old cigarette ads, you know, where they'd, you know, doctors recommend that you smoke these menthol cigarettes because they're healthier for you than, you know, it has a smooth, healthy flavor. And you're just like, oh, my God,
yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. some releases. We went to see Pacific Rim this morning and saw a one shot for Pixar's Planes, which is an aviation sequel to Cars. I never saw any of the Cars. But now check this out. Last night, about midnight, I see this thing on Facebook from my sister that she sent to everybody. Me and my husband, my brother-in-law, went to go see Pacific Rim tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm like, well, why the hell didn't you invite me to go? I wanted to go see this movie. Why the hell wasn't I invited?
Maybe they had a little extracurricular activity afterwards.
Well, they live like 5 blocks away from me, and you know, the movie theater that they went to is a small movie. I wouldn't do anything extracurricular in there. I mean, I swear to God, one time a couple tried to, and like 20 people, or like 10 people around them started yelling, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, almost immediately, there was an usher in there.
Oh,
and he picked,
were you embarrassed?
Me? I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It was some it was some couple three rows up, but it was pretty odd, but you could hear what was going on. And you can hear him whispering to his girlfriend to pleasure him in the theater. And I swear to God, a guy in back was like, guy, are you serious? You're going to do it? Really? Why don't you speak a little bit louder so the whole theater can hear you? Triple S said, oh, awkward. And basically they left the theater. She was embarrassed. It's like, what? Look at, and somebody said, look at the size of the theater, lady. Are you kidding me?
Well,
as a matter of fact, this movie theater used to be where we had an Odd Lots. So we used to joke around that some of the theaters are so small they were where the trucks pulled in. What do you call it? The truck ports or whatever, where they used to come in to unload.
Yeah, the loading bays.
The loading bay. And I used to joke around, like, when the movie theater first opened, we would sit there and hear, beep, beep, beep. It's like, oh, shit, that truck didn't get the message. Then they close it down. But that's where they went. But she said, my sister wrote, I didn't get in touch with her about it afterwards, but she said it was a good, you know, a good movie. I think I usually take my 16-year-old nephew to go see all the superhero movies like that. So I think that's what they were thinking of. So then I'm going to go see him because we still haven't seen Man of Steel.
I haven't seen Man of Steel yet either.
I know. I heard it was good, though. So
I can see it now, though, since, what's her name? Kaylee Cuoco broke up with the guy who played Superman. So
she's single?
Yeah. Hey.
Back on the market. What?
Yeah. Don't get any ideas, man.
Sorry, you got dibs? All right, I'm sorry. I won't. I didn't know you had dibs, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, guess what I watched last night, though, finally?
Give me a hint.
It starts with T. Yeah, actually.
All right. Give me the first letter of the second word.
It's a Joss Whedon movie.
The Avengers.
No.
Give me the first letter of the second word.
C.
It's a Joss Whedon film, The C. Now it couldn't be Serenity because that started with a... somebody said Serenity. No, the C. All right, give me the second letter of the second word.
A.
This.
I feel like I'm a Wheel of Fortune.
Can I buy an E? We already have an E. Can I buy an I?
Back to Basics Radio. We're playing Hangman.
That's right.
All right, I'm writing down an arm.
All right. No. How many words is the title? I'm not even looking. I swear, I'm not even looking it up. How many words is the
sounds
title?
Like?
I mean, how many words are in the title?
How many words are in that? Four words, I guess, in the title.
Oh,
five.
The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that either. Damn it.
Oh, my gosh, man.
You know what I caught last night? I couldn't sleep last night. At like 3 o'clock in the morning on IFC. Have you ever seen Repo? Oh, what was it called? The something opera. Hold on. I got to look this up. Damn it. It was with Anthony Stewart. Speaking of Joss Whedon, because he played Giles in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series.
Ah, Giles.
He was also King Arthur's father. He was also King Arthur's father in Merlin. Hold on, I'm going to get this name for you right now. I'm looking it up. Come on.
He also did an episode of Doctor Who, just in case you're curious.
That's right, yes. Class Reunion. Yeah, Oh, Repo the Genetic Opera came out in 2008.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Good movie. It was pretty good. It takes place in the dystopian, dark future, like 2057.
I did like the Cabin in the Woods, though. It wasn't typical Joss Whedon fare. It was typical Joss Whedon fare in that it was sort of different. It wasn't just a straight up horror movie. It was a horror movie, but it wasn't just a, you know.
So, Paris Hilton was in it last night. That was her in it. She had a minor part in it. Bill Moseley was in it.
She was not in Cabin in the Woods, though.
No, she was in this one, in Repo. Bill Moseley, who's been in a bunch of horror movies.
But I'll tell you who was in the Cabin in the Woods. Two people I recognized. One was Chris Hemsworth, the guy that played Thor.
Yes.
And the other is, what's his name? Fran Kranz or something like that, the guy that played Topher in Dollhouse was in it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So that was cool, seeing him in
very
something.
Very cool. Very cool. Oh, here's somebody I know from City of Heroes.
So, and Amy Acker was in it, too. So she's sort of a standard Joss Whedon.
I just had my Facebook page and just updated. I saw two people say, "Oh my God, Pacific Rim was amazing." All right, I want to see it. It's amazing because it's giant robots fighting giant monsters.
I got to admit, I'm not all that enthused about Pacific Rim.
I love Godzilla movies growing up. As a matter of fact, I have on top of my desk a Godzilla action figure. And somebody got me as a gift one time for my wrestling, you know, from the days of Hulk Hogan. It's a Hulk Hogan action figure. I had the two of them locked up in Mortal Kombat. So I say it's a giant Hulk Hogan fighting Godzilla.
Yeah, I was never into the Godzilla movie. It's like everybody was watching Sharknado last night, and I'm like, really?
I did not watch it. You know what annoyed me about the Sharknado? I didn't watch it. I wrote for novel for National Novel Writing Month in November. I did a zombie story called A Storm of Zombies, and it's about a hurricane. It's about a massive hurricane hitting the Northeast when a zombie apocalypse hits.
Okay.
And basically, I said the winds were so bad that the zombies were flying through the air because it was so damn windy. I said, because I'm thinking to myself, is it possible that the winds are strong enough to pick zombies up and throw them up against a house?
Sure, why not?
That's what I said.
I see. I'm not a big. I don't get into the creature movies, though. I don't watch the Anaconda and the.
Oh no, I won't. Did you see Cloverfield?
I did see Cloverfield.
I saw it in the movies, and a friend of mine got off. He goes, "I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom." And he came back 30 seconds later. He goes, "I didn't make it." I was like, "So what the hell did you do? Piss your pants?" And he goes, "I'll tell you later." He got, because people were complaining about Cloverfield because, you know, the point is it's supposed to be from the viewpoint of a person's video camera, you know, because they're videotaping at a party and then this whole thing breaks out.
Yeah.
So the motion is very supposed to be like if somebody was running with a camera with this little, you know, handheld video camera in their hands videotaping. He got motion sickness. That's what people were complaining. Some people got motion sickness. He got motion sick.
Oh.
And so when he said he had to go. He threw up in the garbage pail at the front of the by the front doors of the theater.
I wouldn't have watched it except it had Lizzie Kaplan in it. I think she's gorgeous.
Yeah. And
but she ended up well. I won't give away spoilers.
Yeah, don't give up spoilers.
Seen it though, haven't you?
Somebody did say I did hear rumors they were working on a high budget sequel to it, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, I'm not sure that you could really. I mean, the whole point of the movie was. You know, you didn't really know what the things were, and I can't imagine a sequel.
Oh, you knew what it was? You saw it?
Well, you saw it, but you still didn't know really what it was. I mean,
well, if you watch the credits, you see enough. You saw some interesting things during the end credits. You had to stick through the whole end credits because it shows what was on the videotape.
Yeah, I can't imagine a sequel would be.
Yeah, I didn't. All right, somebody's giving spoilers. Well, okay, yeah, I didn't see the movie yet. He goes, I still don't believe their explanation why they have to have two people controlling a Jaeger and the control systems are unbelievably clunky, but I enjoy the movie. Well, they're first-generation Jaegers, or whatever they call them. I want to bring this up when I was talking about events earlier. I came upon this on Facebook. It was Saturday, August 31st. There is a City of Heroes summertime meet and greet planned. I think I mentioned this. I might have mentioned this before. It's at 14389 Potomac Festival Plaza, Woodbridge, Virginia. 22193 is the zip code. A meet and greet in Woodbridge, Virginia. And now I'm kicking myself because I just closed the page on the Titan Network, for which actually gives the name of the place where it's going to be.
Wilbur, that's down south of Washington.
Oh, yeah. No. The specific location where it's going to be. That's what I
You
meant.
Know, I went to a meet and greet back in May. It was up north of Washington. It was up in Bethesda, Maryland.
Yes. How was it?
A lot of fun.
That's cool. Very cool.
Yeah, there were like 21 or 22 people there and all. We had some swag. It was nice. We hung out. We went and played games. I can't remember his last name. His first name was David. We kind of met at his place afterwards and played Apples to Apples, I think. The card game where you have to sit there and... It was a lot of fun.
I'm looking for it now. I don't see it.
I do highly encourage.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I do highly encourage people, though, that when they see these meet and greets, if there's one close to you, go, because they're a lot of fun. I mean, cool people hanging out, playing games. So I kind of went a long way to that one. I hopped a flight and flew up to Maryland and went, but it was definitely well worth the trip. It was sort of a little mini vacation for me.
Okay, I found it. it's at a place called Hard Times.
There you go.
In Woodbridge, and I think they said there's a laser tag something near there or something like that. Hard Times Cafe.
Oh, my God. If I tried to play laser tag, I'd probably die.
All right.
You know, interesting point of fact, I have never played laser tag, not once in my life.
Okay, here it is. This is the official post. This is an updated posting on the Titan Network. So I'll read this here. Sunday, August 31st, about noon till really whenever the hell people want to leave. They're going to start at Hard Times in Woodbridge, Virginia. There's a Laser Quest in the same shopping center, so we'll probably get a couple games in there during the afternoon. And the address is Hard Times Cafe, 14389 Potomac Festival Plaza, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22193. Other notes, I'll be at Hard Times. This is Taurus Prime. Who's in charge of this? Not me. I'm just quoting what he says. I'm not. If I'm saying this, I'm not. He'll be at Hard Times at about noon, so folks can start showing up anytime around then. He'll be posting updates on the Facebook page, so people will be able to find them.
Yeah,
and other people are posting.
I'm going to hold you to it now.
Well, not me. Why? And people are saying, teleport, recall a friend. You can get us there sooner. And then I put at the bottom, I'll make sure to spread the word tonight. So I spread the word. Oh, I just noticed I have ranking of boss on the Titan Network.
You have what?
You know that underneath your name, it goes boss, minion, something like that. I'm not elite. I'm nowhere near being an elite boss, but I don't think I post nearly enough on this thing.
I give you a custom title. What would you want your custom title to be?
I don't know. I got to think of something cool. What's the word I'm looking for? I'll think of something cool. Voice of the people? I don't know. Okay, while I'm reading stuff to everybody, the Phoenix Project update, they had a new one on this past Tuesday. Sega did it. okay, here it goes. This is Sega. I'm just quoting him now, so don't hold me to anything. My apologies for the late update. The stars just aligned to get in the way, but fear not. Here it is for this week. We'll start off with a bit more on Kickstarter. Ooh, very cool. With the various funding drives that are ongoing or upcoming in the Plan Z family, it has been expressed that some are concerned about the privacy of their personal and or credit card data. The Phoenix Project is very concerned with protecting and honoring the privacy and integrity of any personal data shared in the process of supporting us. While I'm sure our sibling projects are as well, I can obviously only speak for the Phoenix Project. Methods for achieving this protection of our backers can vary. We are going with Kickstarter in part as our means of doing this, with the initial push to credit card information, PayPal accounts, etc. Used to back Kickstarter projects are given to Kickstarter and Amazon to manage and do not flow into the hands of the project coordinators. As an established and well-known business, Amazon has tools and policies in place to protect people automatically, freeing us to concentrate on providing the best rewards and presentation we can for the drive itself. In short, for this stage of the funding process, Kickstarter is the simplest method we can use to protect your privacy as you. Now, in answer to a few other frequently asked questions, yes, most of the higher-level rewards refer back to lower-level ones as included. We have had it suggested that we consider reshaping it to use add-ons and to have fewer reward levels. We're looking into that. If it does provide a tighter method of packing things with less confusion, we'll probably have something more in that format for the final version. Work, meanwhile, progresses apace, and we have our 3D artists talking to our tech people about some new assets they are working on to expand or adaptation of the engine. A lot of what we've got and are doing, we're saving for the Kickstarter itself, but here's an example of very simple particle use for a super speed motion with our little block man avatar. That is very cool. That's a long stream. It's like a ribbon behind him. That's using in-engine assets and our tech team's efforts with Auroras. Our artists are looking at ways to build more exciting ones for final release. Stay tuned for more as we release a few more teasers in the next few weeks. Now, it's funny I see this picture here of the ribbon, because I know in Champions Online last weekend for the 4th of July, they had this thing where if you complete three of the same mission, which I did on both my main characters, you get this bonus travel power called Flag Speed, which is basically super speed. The American, there's a long red, white, and blue ribbon behind you when you use it, which I thought was cool. And then you get like some kind of like Star Spangled sidekick.
They're making some pretty good progress. I'm not as plugged into that project as I used to be, but I still ping. I don't talk to Segev and that crew much, but I do ping Nate Downs, who's their technical guy. I chat with him every once in a while.
I'm Vox Populi.
Yes, you are. How about that?
Wow, that's awesome. I'm now Vox Populi. I wish I knew Latin better. I think I know that phrase. Don't tell me.
It means the goober with the microphone.
Probably. Gee, thanks. You know what sucks? Growing up, I wanted to take Latin in school, and they had one class when I was in ninth grade, and I'm looking at this thing here.
The suspense is killing me.
So what happened was I wound up taking French. Oh, and that's what it was. It was very limited, he said. He didn't want to teach a big class. So it was like by the time I signed up for it, it was too late. I was like, oh, you got it. It was like, well, there's only 10 people in the class, so I wound up taking French. So we all thought the next year I could sign up for Latin. No, it was only offered the 1 year. They only offered it in ninth grade. I'm like, why would they only offer it for the 1 year?
I could have taken Latin, but I took French instead. I figured it would be more useful.
All right. Yes. Yeah, someone always just put Vox Populi, Vox Dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Wow.
That's so deep.
I know.
By the way, I'm not logged into the chat, but I do have it pulled up and I'm looking at it. So,
oh, okay.
Just because you don't see my name over there on the right I'm on the seventh line, the invisible. It's not just not visible.
On the voice.
I'm there in spirit.
How very cool is that?
Sort of like the zombies in The Cabin in the Wood last night. That was actually a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it.
Okay, look, I don't know Latin, so stop teasing me by putting Latin. Don't insult me by putting Latin in there. You know I want to learn Latin. The only thing I know is I was cum laude in college because my first few years were just a mess. And then I straightened my act out together, and I had, like, really awesome grades for my last 2 years, but... I had a decent GPA, but I could have had better. As a matter of fact, every class I've taken after I graduated college, I've gotten a 4.0 in the class. But sadly, that doesn't mean anything.
So, let's see. Anything else going on City of Heroes this week?
Do you want me to I can read the address again. I think
the
address
what?
For the Google, for those people who haven't got their Google letters out.
You lost me. Read what?
The
address?
Google letters. You know, the letters we're supposed to be sending to Google.
Oh, you don't have to do that. They're posted in our forums.
I know. I was going to read it because some people don't look at the forums.
Uh-oh.
Shocking, I know, because then how will they know how to find this page?
Well...
Okay, look, man. Esra Malloy, he's just taunting me now. He's saying shit in Latin. I have no idea. I think he's just insulting me now. Okay, here it is. Wishlist for Christmas, Rosetta Stone, Latin.
He's probably putting that in on Google Translate or something.
Maybe. I was going to do the same thing. But.
Let's see. Google Translate. Is Latin one of the languages?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, in the wrestling thing, we had a storyline going where we were all typing in different languages. These weird storylines, you get this message, blah, 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 and then parentheses in the bottom, go to Google Translator and look in this language. So people write, that's genius. How do they know? that's what it was. The guy was writing in Romanian. It's some, like, ancient Romanian he found. So he was writing all this stuff, like, huh? And then in parentheses underneath all that, was like, and he goes, some people say if you go to Google Translator and go from English to or Romanian to English, you can translate this. All right. Well, here's my Google Translator. Of course, it's not on my PC.
You know what? I also watched an episode of Voyager last week. Reminded me of why I hated that show. I watched the episode because George Takei was in it. I watched the episode where Tuvok was, like, reminiscing about his days when he was on the Excelsior. And I was like, man, I tell you what, when George Takei is in an episode of Voyager and it still reeks, you know the show was really bad.
I watched not even 10 episodes of the entire series. Like, I would always watch the first one, the season premiere and the season finale, and I felt like I never missed anything.
I tell you, I had high hopes for the show. And I watched the first episode, and I thought, hey, this actually has a lot of potential. I'm excited about this. And then after the second, the third, the fourth, I'm just like, okay, this is stupid. I hate this show.
Well, I remember when it came out, they had this thing in the newspapers. They even had, like, a bag of popcorn, microwavable popcorn. They put it in there so you could enjoy it.
What, okay. Voyager?
Yeah, before the premiere. Really? All right, he puts here, when catapults are outlawed, the only outlaws will have catapults.
Well, there you go.
Then only outlaws, I'm sorry. All right, what's the other thing he put? Ha, do you now speak Latin? Why, yes, I say a little Latin. The tongue looks like a tricky, but it quickly... enough to comprehend. Okay, I know what he's saying. All right. I wasn't denouncing it. I was just saying I never learned. I want to learn. I never learned it.
I don't go to math, so that's about the only time, unless you wanted to sound like fancy on that. That would be the one thing. It's like those people who learn Japanese so that they can watch anime and the original Japanese.
They do?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah. How about that? Why?
I know. I never heard of that. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Oh, my nephew, he started watching the original Naruto in Japanese, and they sit up all night watching the... what was I going to say? They stay up watching the original.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there who actually take Japanese classes specifically for the purpose of being able to watch anime in the original Japanese.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, I mean, it's a skill.
I mean, that's great to learn Japanese. I just think it's funny for the reason you're learning it.
I kind of wish I knew Japanese. Mm-hmm. Not so much for the anime, but so I could, you know, speak to Japanese people.
If I had the money, I would get Rosetta Stone and just learn a whole. I would love to learn Latin, Japanese, and Russian.
Ooh, I'd like to learn Russian. I like women with Russian accents. I think that's sexy.
And Russian, because the last time I played City of Heroes, I was playing with members of KGB Special Section 8, and we were always typing Russian, or they would always type Russian, and I was playing with them like every week towards the end. I was like, damn it. And they're like, why, what's the matter? I said, well, I was discussing some kind of Russian phrase. I was like, I'm not sure which is. And she goes, well, depending on the spelling, one is more personal than the other. I said, you know what's funny about that? I said, if the game was still on and I kept going with you guys, I was going to make it my point for him, for Pogo Man, to start speaking more Russian. Like he was picking up the language from you guys.
Russian's hard to learn, though. I'm not sure I'd want to.
Well, Google Translate. You know,
of course, Japanese is. I actually took 2 quarters of Japanese when I was at Auburn. Ah, Nihongo desu yo.
I know domo arigato. And I could order a sushi
menu. Mr. Roboto.
That's right. And I could order. I know. Hi.
And
I could order a sushi menu.
Everybody who was alive in the 80s knows domo arigato.
Yeah, but they know what it means.
Well, yeah, because they actually say it in the song.
But do actually people understand? That's why they say, oh, we have a call. We have a person.
Oh, answer the phone quick, before they get away.
Got him. Now you're in trouble. Now you got to talk to us on Safe City of Heroes Radio. Hello?
Sean.
Hey, what's up, Sean?
Sean?
Yes.
Hey, Sean.
That's our Malloy.
Oh, hey. Hey, I like that shirt. Is that new?
Actually, I'm not wearing a shirt right now. It's too warm.
Oh.
Okay. Where are you?
San Diego.
It's warm in San Diego. I guess it would be pretty warm in San Diego.
Yeah, it's summertime. I mean, come on now.
So are you going to Comic-Con?
No, as I posted earlier in the chat, I gave up on Comic-Con last year.
You did? Why?
John Ross finally managed to turn it from a comic book convention into the trade show he wanted it to be.
Well, I guess. Still, there's a lot of like famous stars and stuff. You can go get autographs and hang out with Geek and Sundry and that kind of thing.
Get there 2 hours ahead and sit in line.
Watch the cosplayers. That's always fun.
Last year, there were people showing up the Sunday before the convention to get in line for the Friday Twilight panel.
But that's Twilight.
I probably would have passed on that one.
Yeah, I definitely would have passed on Twilight. Yeah.
Even the My Little Pony fandom didn't show up until Tuesday.
I never understood the appeal of. To be fair, though, I haven't actually watched the Twilight movies.
I still don't get the appeal.
I'm a little amused though because my sisters have read the Twilight books, and these are. I mean, these aren't like 15-year-old girls. These are like, you know, 45-year-old women, and they love them.
I got a couple things to say about Twilight. My sister loves the movies. They went one night. I don't know if it was the final one or the second to last movie. And the kid who's the werewolf had his shirt off, and I guess he was all ripped, you know, working out. And these mid-40 women are going, oh, my God, he looks so hot. And my sister felt like yelling, are you guys pedophiles? He's a teenager. And everybody's laughing because, like, if a guy said that about a girl, they would have arrested him.
Well, I don't know that they would have arrested him. But
yeah, he would have been kicked. You know, something bad would have happened. But, you know, it's the fact these middle-aged women are looking at this kid, especially like 16, 17. They're like, oh, he looks so hot. I want him so bad. Like, really? You're whispering loud enough so everybody could hear you say it. Again, that same movie theater. You know, it's like, really? What the hell is your problem? But anyway.
For what it's worth, my sisters did not express any desire to have anyone's body from that
movie.
These
women did, and, you know, that's why I said, yeah, that's why I don't like the movies. And also, Stephen King, he said he read one of the books, and his opinion was this woman can't write a story to save her life. He goes, it was very piss-poor written.
I like Stephen King, except I tell you what, this is sort of I haven't read every single Stephen King, but I have read stuff like Christine and Carrie and Insomnia and some of his. I love his short story. His short stories are the best, but his novels, it's like they start out and they hook you, and they hook you until about halfway through, and then after about halfway through, it's just like, okay, I'm ready for this to end now. Is this book ever going to end? It's funny because, you know, the first half of Stephen King's books are like the best books you've ever read, and the last half are just like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? You know, I'm never going to get through this stupid book.
I didn't read the book, but I like The Stand, the miniseries.
I thought Gary Sinise was awesome in that.
Yeah, I like that series. It was actually funny because the first night it premiered, I had to go to a funeral, so I missed like the first half hour of it. But I was like, I'm watching it anyway. I don't care.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
And actually, it's been on a few other times, and I think I've watched the whole series total 5 times, and I think I've actually caught the first half hour once.
Well, there you go.
Oh, Triple S says he finds that, well, you said he finds it too. It's like somewhere around the last third, he gets bored and just rushes to get it done.
Yeah, it's like he sort of gets bogged down in his own story, and he can't finish it right. His short stories, let me tell you, his short stories are some of the best stories I've ever read. Stuff like, you know, he wrote Rita Hayworth in The Shawshank Redemption. Oh, my gosh, man. Awesome story. Apt Pupil. And
I forgot he wrote that. I like that movie. I forgot he wrote that.
Oh, yeah. I have a copy of that somewhere in one of his short story collections. I took my mom, of all things, I took the book to my mom, and I'm like, Mom, you've got to read this. This was before the movie came out with Morgan Freeman and all that. Mm-hmm. I took the book to my mom, and I'm like, Mom, you've got to read this short story. And she's like, I'm not going to read, because she hated, you know, sci-fi and horror and fantasy and all that stuff. She used to like romance novels. But I'm like, no, trust me, Mom. It's Stephen King, but it's not a horror story. You're going to love it. Trust me. And she read it, and she told me that she thought it was one of the best stories she'd ever read. She ended up, like, reading the rest of the book. And the rest of the book, you know, some of them were sort of, you know, thriller sort of stories. You know,
right.
The same collection had an Apt Pupil in it, which was about the Nazi guy. So, you know, you can imagine it. But, yeah, his short stories are fantastic.
I'm trying to think. All right, well, Triple S says he wrote Stand By Me. What did I say? I said Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile.
Yeah, he wrote the Green Mile too.
I want to read the Dark Tower series. I never read that one. I used to see it all the time. I just never.
Did you watch the Under the Dome? Isn't that a Stephen King thing?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I saw the first one, and for some reason my DVR didn't record the second one. It recorded the third one though, so I had to go on demand this weekend and watch two. And I watched 2 and 3 this week, and I got caught up. But yeah, from what I heard, Under the Dome. Also, what was the one?
Haven.
Thank you. The Colorado Kid. I want to read that story to see what it's about. See,
I got to warn you, though. The Colorado Kid is nothing like Haven, so don't.
Okay. Well, I figured as much. I mean, it's a short story, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like they took this minor little character out of this short story and said, okay, let's completely make a totally different TV series.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to see the same characters and stuff in it. That.
Okay. Hold on, we do have another caller.
Hey, caller.
Hello, caller. 207 caller. I think I brought them on. Hello?
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 Hello. Garrett, I'm off.
Hi, this is James Dornan.
Save City of Heroes.
Oh, yes. I hope
Yeah.
Hey, James.
How are you, James?
How's it going?
And we have Sean here with us, and you're talking to Pilgrim Man, otherwise known as Rich, and Tony V.
Tony V is back.
That's right.
Hey,
he's been here the last couple of weeks helping out. Thank you very much, Tony, by the way.
Hey, where's Susie?
I've been horrible.
They were traveling this week, and they were somewhere in Iowa when a deer struck their vehicle, or they hit a deer, and the vehicle they were driving broke down, and they were stuck in this nice Midwestern town in Iowa. They got on the road. They were on the way home. She got in touch with me like 4 to 6, saying they're going to be home in 10 minutes, but they had a birthday dinner to go to tonight.
Oh, good grief.
So she couldn't be on the show tonight. She told me this, like, that's when I got in touch with you, like 4 to 6. I'm like, really? Like an hour before the show?
You know what happened with that accident, though? You know,
what?
They struck something, and she said, did we hit an animal? And he said, yes, dear.
No, that's funny, because it was a deer. So.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a funny story about a deer hitting somebody. Back when I was working at Verizon, we just saw there was a manager there that no one liked, and we felt really bad. She hit this deer, and the deer went flying through the windshield. The hoof hit her forehead, and they said there was an imprint. She was out for 2 weeks. They said for the first week she was out, there was an imprint of the hoof in her forehead.
Nifty.
And yeah, we try not laughing, but it was one of these things, like, when you're hated that much, it's like you feel bad that something bad happens to anybody, but it was like, you know, she probably didn't come in because she knew everybody was going to laugh at her, so. Well, just because she did it to herself. I mean, I'm sorry to say it. I mean, you know, when bad things happen to a good person, it's never funny, but, you know.
No, but that is kind of funny.
That is. That's what I'm saying. She deserved it. I mean, really.
I grew up on a rich diet of the Three Stooges, so I'm not.
See, so did I. We were talking about that earlier.
But
I watched the cartoon.
Well, I was saying earlier, if you have IFC on your cable network, Saturday mornings from, yeah, got to check, it starts anywhere from 8:30 to 9:30 till noon. They do a Three Stooges marathon every Saturday morning.
Do they also have the Super Stooges?
Not the cartoon now. They just do the shorts.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just addicted.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I know, and for some reason, usually they mix in Curly and Shemp. And last week, I don't know why, it was just all a Shemp day. But it was funny because he was the one that I'd never seen, so I was like, oh, that's cool. So.
And you know that most of the scenes with Shemp are fake, that they use a fake Shemp in most of those scenes because Shemp died, and they had not completed shooting. So what they did was they had a lot of shots with his back to the camera, and they use a fake Shemp. And so now whenever they use a fake actor to portray an actor, like
right.
when they show, if you're watching the show Heroes, that the first appearance of Siler is actually a different
right.
actor. And so technically in film jargon, he's a fake Shemp.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's funny, in one of the... I'm sorry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, in one of the Marx Brothers movies... they do a scene with Groucho, and the lights are out, and it turned out, I said, something had to be up, because I can't picture why they would do this whole scene in the dark, because it's supposed to be Chico and Harpo sneaking around the room, and so it made sense for the lights to be out, but it turned out that Groucho had a bad flu that day. It was actually Zeppo in disguise as Groucho. He had the same outfit on, so in the dark, in pitch black, it looks like Groucho. So it was Zeppo just sitting there, and they did voiceover. They did the voiceover with Groucho later on. They had it in his voice for the scene. But actually, they said what's funny is since all four of them were brothers, if you hid their hair and they all had like a hat on, and they all had like a mustache, whatever, they all look very similar.
Yeah, I've seen people crop them, and it looks really amazing. Like people have cropped them on Photoshop and exchanged their hair, their clothing, and their various facial hair, and it's pretty funny. They do look a lot alike.
Yeah, well, you know, that last week on this very show, that wasn't me. That was a Tony V stand-in.
That That was Triple H standing in. That was Triple H.
And you know, I don't think anybody noticed. So.
No.
I didn't say a word.
And then the conversation grinds to a halt.
I know. Like, everybody's like, huh? I was in on it, but I didn't say anything because, you know, I had to be professional about it. So.
You had to be professional.
For one.
I'm going to take a moment to absorb that.
That's right. Yes, I know, because we're always so professional on this show.
Well, that's how the phrase fake Tony originated. So.
Right. And that says when Rich is professional, you know there's something wrong. Look, I'm going to be as professional as I can be on the show, all right? Damn it, leave me alone.
So I'm just curious about something. See if anybody else here has noticed this, that on Twitter, on Facebook, there's been this resurgence, this wave of people suddenly regaining their interest in City of Heroes. I've noticed that people are posting more, they're putting more stuff up, they're talking about it, they're posting their characters. Everywhere, it's more and more.
You know what I think it is? I'm going to count that to two reasons. And no, it's not that Tony V's on the show. Sorry, Tony. The guy did the mock City of Heroes forum page is up. And the fact that now I still haven't done it because I'm supposed to send the laptop back out again, but you could get into Icon. And you go into all the you know, they recreated a lot of the areas of Paragon City.
Oh, I think that's by far what's going on is Icon.
I think that's more so.
You can log back into the game and fly around, and they have access to developer commands. And
I think that I think that's another thing too. So
that's got to be a large part of it, but it's just amazing, I tried to get people more interested in Twitter, so I started a campaign of when I have spare time coming up with a bunch of Nemesis plots and putting them on there.
You know, I think it is, too. It's the summertime now. I think a lot of people who are busy, you know, like a lot of people are still in college or whatever, they're home now, so I think they have more time to focus on it.
So do you run Icon?
What was that?
I do.
Have you recreated your characters and that kind of stuff?
I actually save their costume files, so I just load them back up.
Oh, that's cool.
And I also,
have you played around with, like, generate the NPC? Have you turned yourself into Hamadon and that kind of stuff?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, if you did a bunch of Hammy raids back in the day and you had a bunch of Hamios, I think you could easily change yourself into Hamadon.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking, what you need to do is you need to take your costume file, generate like an NPC and change yourself generate a whole bunch of Hamadon. So it's like a reverse Hamadon raid where you'll have like 50 Hamadons attacking, you know, some poor spot.
It'd be 50 Hamadons versus Pogoman with his super reflexes. He could hold them off for maybe 3 minutes.
Pick up the Hamadon Bud model.
There you go.
I think somebody did a video of this back in the day. They told me they did it when I was doing it. The old school super reflexes before they got nerfed. And during one of the Hamadon raids, we had to clear the area, and we were waiting for heroes to show up. Somebody said they said it was like 5 minutes I did this with my super reflexes. I stood in the middle of three giant monsters and held them off for 5 minutes with old school super reflexes.
Until a world crashes.
Yeah, well, I had enhancement. I went through my whole enhancement tree, but somebody's like, dude, I just got new. He sent me a message. He goes, I just have a totally new respect for super reflexes after watching you do that.
So how about you, Sean? Have you been playing with Icon any?
Yeah, I've played around with it. I haven't played much with 1.7 yet. I've recreated a bunch of the characters. I'm looking at writing a program to open up a Sentinel Plus file to pull costumes out of that.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to get on Guy about that. We shortly discussed some sort of conversion, and it can be done. It's just a matter of we got to sit down and do it. It has to pull the information out of one of the City of Heroes binary files. So it's doable. It's just kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I was looking at creating a program to take it out of the demo records to create costume files too. That looks a little easier.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I've been sifting through my demo records. I've got hundreds of hours laying around.
Cool. I think it'd be very cool if we get the servers to the point where we have multiple people in the same instance.
That would require a lot more work.
Wow.
Yeah. See, I don't want to give away too much, but stuff like that, it is in process. And,
okay,
and
I won't say another word.
It's going to take a while, though, because we're basically having to recreate it's not me personally, but
right.
Recreate the, I love the way I take credit for that, too. Well, yeah, you know, what we're doing, as if I'm actually sitting here doing it myself. But,
you can now run for office.
If you go through the client where it's sending I activated this power to go to the server, which says, do this animation, and then sends back to the client, draw this graphic effect.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what you have to do is you have to basically write a server to do that. And there's two sort of ways to go about it. And we're kind of trying to do this all incrementally. You know, we've gotten to the point where we know all the APIs that the client uses and everything. And at this point, you know, the next step is to write like a single user server that basically would run on your workstation. And, you know, that would get you up and flying around, you know, using your powers and that kind of stuff. Maybe you can pop enemies. I don't know, you know, but there is another incremental step in between, you know, what Icon does, which is all just sort of client-side magic and a full server implementation, which, you know, would basically be what City of Heroes was before.
Right.
All Icon does is fool it into thinking that the server has authenticated it and that you're good to go. It doesn't do any server communication, really.
No, there was an authentication server between when you connected and when you got to the actual game server that just verified that, yes, this person had a valid login.
Right.
But all it did was validate your account and then hand you off to a game server.
There are certain things that can take place entirely client-side, like moving around and that sort of thing. And the reason why is because if you had any kind of latency in talking to the server, what would happen is your client would move you around, and then periodically, you know, it would send your movement commands and everything to the server, and periodically the server would sort of validate it. Yes.
We're here, where rubber banding came from.
Right.
Yeah,
you got bad packets.
And if the server didn't answer, then the client would sort of rubber band you back. And all that, you know, all that Icon does is it basically turns off that mechanism to perform those server side checks, you know, updates of where it basically says, you know, anything that the client says as far as movement commands is true. So accept it for what it is. And
now, whoever's working on that,
power use went through the server. Because you can see the evidence of that in the old-style Hemi raids when the crowding got so bad that the refresh for your powers started going 3 and 4 minutes on a 10-second power. Because you were bogging down the server to send all the data.
How hard would it be to join in on the development effort?
Well, that depends. How well do you know C?
I know C pretty well.
Well, you should ping CodeWalker and say, hey, you know, I know C pretty well, and I'd like to help out with this effort. And,
yeah.
Because he's the master of the project.
I see. Okay.
And he's doing a fine job.
Yeah, he's... Someone needs... If I see him, he's going to have a few... free meals and beers and whatever. He'll buy him all the hookers he wants.
He's a brilliant guy. He knows everything. I don't think he's real. I think he's a computer AI, like Skynet or something. Because he knows, like, everything. I mean, like, anything computer-related. I ask him, I mean, we ask him questions all the time, not just about, you know, C, but, you know, he's an expert in Unix administration and Windows administration and database administration and TCP/IP, you know, low-level packet, you know, formats and, you know, hacking, because hacking skills are not easy to come by, you know, themselves. I mean, having to go in and decipher, you know, pointers and jumps and all that kind of stuff, what's going where and how data's stored and the structure behind it and everything. And the guy's just brilliant. I mean, he knows everything.
I like him already. I liked him before you said that, but now I like him more.
See?
He is probably one of the smartest people I've ever run across in my day.
It sounds like he has a lot of similar work experience that I have. So I'd like to talk to him. He'd be a lot of fun.
I honestly think he's a Vulcan.
Yeah, probably is. Most are. You know, if you program in C, it's the Vulcan language, you know. They speak it.
Oh, yes.
But they only speak ANSI C. None of that K and R C.
Yeah, that's...
Sorry,
although,
that's a
you know, rest in peace, Dennis Ritchie, who died the same day that... Who else died that same day? Someone really, really famous died the very same day he did. Oh,
so,
Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs died the same day Dennis Ritchie did.
Yes.
Yeah, and everyone, and Dennis Ritchie was the guy who made Steve Jobs' life possible. So.
Yeah.
I mean, he resisted for a long time. I mean, he had a lot of old Apple stuff was written in Pascal, you know, before they switched over to BSD, you know, which was really just next step brought over from Next. Pretty much, but then everything, you know, his obsession with Objective-C is pretty obscene. But still, without Dennis Ritchie, there would have been no modern Apple. There would have been no BSD.
Hmm. We'd all be sitting around reading books. Ugh.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Jeez.
We don't be programming in BCal. Come on.
I have a question for you programmers. Is Pascal even still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what are its practical application uses?
That is a matter of opinion.
Okay.
That is not something that you can actually state.
It
was created as an educational programming language.
A
lot of places used it. Went beyond that. A lot of applications were created. Parts of PeopleSoft are still written in it.
Okay.
It's just used in a lot of places where it doesn't apply. It is not a very practical language given, you know, today's requirements. So, I mean, it takes a strong desire.
No, because I'm saying, because back when I was in high school, it was an advanced placement level, senior level class, and there was five of us in there, and I had a problem with the teacher because I kept saying to him, the notebook, the textbook is different from the computers we use, like the commands we use. They weren't accepting. He goes, well, you missed the first class, because I signed up for the class late for some reason. Like, I signed up for it over the summer, but somehow the paperwork didn't go through right, they said, so I had to go back and re-sign up for it. And for some reason, he just had an attitude with me, and he never gave me the correct commands.
Yeah.
So I had a big problem with him with that, so...
Well, that's okay, because had it been another language, you would have missed out on something. But Pascal is not very practical. I mean, it teaches you some of the basics, and that's kind of what it was designed to do. But it lacked a lot of things, such as interfaces to devices were missing, you know, and a lot of other things. But some really interesting games were written in Pascal and the Apple II. You know, I don't know if anybody remembers the old Swashbuckler and, you know...
Taipei?
What was the Wordna one? The wizard?
I do remember hearing Swashbuckler. There was one, I think it was called Taipei, where you were like a merchant during the days of Marco Polo.
Yeah, there was a lot of things
I think.
Back in the early 80s, I wrote training software for the Navy in UCSD Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The before Ada was really popular with the DoD, a lot of things were written in Pascal. really big contest there between UCSD and UCI. So UCI had ADA. They eventually won out because the government looked at ADA and said, we finally found something more bureaucratic than Pascal. And they just swooped in and they latched onto it. Loved it.
Man and Iron Man and Steel Man and all of the other incremental steps toward ADA.
Yeah.
Cool.
But if you know C, then call it Code Walker.
Isn't there C++ and C++ or something like that?
There's just C++.
Okay.
There's C, C++, and Objective-C. Objective-C was a stepping stone to the creation of C++.
And
Steve
Microsoft
Jobs is totally
Sharp.
Obsessed with it. What's that?
And then there's Microsoft C#.
Right, which is a high-level programming language. It's their Java competitor.
It's an interpretive language.
They got pissed off. And by the way, C# is a C and a hash mark. I always like to refer to it as cache because that's what programmers like to when they want to program in C#, they want cache. That's they're going for the money. If you're going for the art, you're gonna go into C. If you're going into the money, you go to cache.
All right.
Well, it's useful. I mean, it's like Java. It's useful for what it does. Especially with a Visual Studio IDE, man, there's just nothing better for developing GUI applications.
No, you're absolutely
applications
right.
Using, yeah, I mean, you know, like trying to program a tree view control in C is just like, you know, a nightmare. You don't want to do that.
But for the people where an IDE gets in your way and just pisses you off, you know, then you don't worry about those things. And that... There's a lot of people like that who just, you know, can't use an IDE because it just slows them down. CodeWalker might be one of those people.
Well, yeah, I mean, he could do both, actually. But you know what I mean, though. I mean, if you're writing a program that's, you know, for example, if you're recreating the City of Heroes server-side software, you're going to be doing that in C. But if you're if you're creating like a data entry form or, you know, something like... MIDS or something like that, you're going to be using C#.
Possibly, yeah. The only thing is, I always look at, you know, the content, the composition of my computer knowledge, and I always pick the thing that I think is going to win in the end. And I think that C# is good because it gives you some Java knowledge, and Java's not bad. But Java also has its shortcomings. It's cross-platform, which is handy. So once you learn a skill that you can apply in a large number of areas that has practical applications, you really have something there. And that's, you know, I was into TCP/IP in the 80s, and a lot of people said, you're crazy. You know, you got to learn Apple Talk, and you got to program for Novell, IPX, SPX, or Banyan Vine. And I called BS on that, and I said, you know what, this is going to win. This is the more reliable solution. The people behind it are going to be behind it for a long time. I met with people like John Romke, and I found that they were really going to be behind it forever, and that this was going to be something that's going to stick, and there's nothing they can do about it. And so I stuck with it, and I forgot about the other ones. And same thing with Linux versus BSD or Unix versus Windows. I waited till Windows caught up, and when it came out with Windows 2000, I just became as much of an expert as I could in it because it finally had grown up, and it wasn't this horrible system that needed to be rebooted nightly because it was just so awful, right? It had become something useful. And so, you know, technologies, you want to kind of get into the things that are going to provide you into the future. You don't want to get into the fad of the moment. I mean, how many people are designing Java applets? You know? And that's why people are using Java. Java became famous because people were like, oh, I can make a Java applet. Well, shoot, on your 28 modem, it was taking half an hour for the darn thing to download. You know? And then people started doing servlets because, well, they had an applet, so we must have a servlet to go with it. Right? And, you know, it's okay. But when it comes push to shove and you need performance, you've got to go to C. You know, So
send it down into assembler language much easier than you can with other programming languages.
True.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it really depends on what you're doing, though. I still maintain if you're writing Windows GUI apps, C is not the way to go. You can, but it's going to take you 10 times as long to write the application. It's going to be 10 times more complicated, you know, especially if you're using like the standard Windows controls, you know, like a standard Windows form type thing.
Right. That's kind of the folly of it, though. That's kind of that's the what they call a honeypot. Microsoft wants you to use their development tools, and they're going to let you do little things really well. But you're never going to be able to do big things really well. They want to control development because every software developer in the world is a competitor to Microsoft on their own platform. They put out their platform pretty much to sell you their applications. They don't need competitors. So what they need is they need a honeypot. They need to lure you in so you do development. They don't use those development tools to develop their stuff or very little of their stuff. You don't see Office written in .NET. You never will. You know? The idea is to get you to do little developments, forms, things like that, very easily. And that's great. But where it breaks down is on the more complicated stuff. So when you need to do that, when you need to write other UIs, you use a different UI kit, you know. And there's a few more being ported out there. But definitely C programming is not something Microsoft really wants you to be doing, per se. It's not something they're going to make as easy. They could.
It's something that not a lot of people can do.
I don't know. I really think I think you're right in a sense, but I also think that there's a matter of perspective. I think that people believe they can't, then they certainly can't. But if they believe they can, they can. You know, I have an 11-year-old who can, you know, who programs just fine. So it all depends on your
mindset to be a good programmer.
Mm-hmm. If you play Champions, you probably are a good programmer.
It depends on what you're doing, though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's sort of like you could write a C application to run, you know, a website, and it would be incredibly performance efficient. But, I mean, practically speaking, the skills to do that are incredibly hard, and that's why PHP is so popular and Java Server.
Sure. And PHP is a great place to write C, though, because you can write extensions to PHP and C that allow you to access high-performance items from a high-level language.
And you can do that. You can do that with C# as well. I mean, you can write CDLL. So, I mean,
right.
So if you have some specific part of your application that needs high performance, but you know you can, and we've done that before, where we've written GUIs using C# or some high-level language, and the nitty-gritty, you know, CPU-intensive parts of it. Anyway, I don't want to digress too much, but yeah, if you're a C guru, ping CodeWalker, because we can use those skills.
Yeah, he sounds like a lot of fun.
and get your 11-year-old?
Get
him to ping CodeWalker as well.
He's busy. He's writing a game right now. It's really infantile.
He's 11. That can wait.
Yeah. He's writing.
He's more important things to worry. He's got more important things to do. Let him get on some hero.
My response to that is, and we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing more important than getting City of Heroes back, damn it.
He's got a game going on right now. If you press the wrong button, this school bus spins around and kids fly off of it. So it's really strange.
I'll play this game.
Tell him we don't have time for him to mess around writing games. We need him working on City of Heroes.
Right now, talk to him.
Well, he's working on Python right now. So we're going to get him
the language or the snake?
Both.
Oh, okay.
So whenever someone says or, it's always good to respond with both. No, he's programming in Python. There's a free online MIT course, which is nice.
Well, unfortunately, I've been doing too much specialized programming. I've gotten out of practice with C.
Yeah, it's easy to pick up. Just grab the old C book, you know, the KNR C book, ANSI edition, second edition. Hardback's only like $100.
The last 15 years, I've been writing mumps.
Mom?
Sounds difficult.
By the way, if you guys have a Quiznos close to you, I had their pulled pork sandwich today. Oh, man. Oh, that is the stuff. Oh. Just thought I'd throw that in to, give a quick plug to Quiznos, because let me tell you, that was the best sandwich I think I've eaten in a long, long time.
Wow, I've never used Mumps. It's quite old. You've got to be curious now.
The implementation we're running is InterSystems Cache, which is their, quote, post-relational database, unquote. But it's still Mumps underneath it all. The software is the composite healthcare system. It's the military healthcare tracking from dates back to 93.
Yeah. I need to get back into low level programming, because I was a parent. I went and interviewed at Google the day before the Google Hail Mary attempt was announced, which was annoying. And they have you do a lot of puzzles and try and solve them on a whiteboard. And it's like, wow, I gotta really get back into the low-level stuff. I think that Sea of Heroes is just the inspiring thing to do.
I think that would be an excellent idea.
Yeah, I just bought a new Dell rack, too, for the basement. I'm going to have to bid you guys adieu.
Oh, okay.
I have to run, and it's been fantastic talking to you guys, as always.
Looks like coming right up on the end.
I'll talk to you all later. Take care.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you for calling in. Wow.
See, that turned interesting.
That did. And we have less than 2 minutes left in the show.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, I just got the voice. The 90-second timer has a...
The voice.
The British woman's voice. The 90-second warning.
We have 90 seconds.
We have 90 seconds left.
Hey, Steam's got their summer sale going on, too, so...
Oh, yeah, I'm on Steam right now, but anything good?
Oh, dude, you need to pick up... If you haven't gotten it already, pick up Civilization 5. We can play Civilization. I'm a huge Civ buff.
I have never played any of those. I hear they're really good.
I love the indie games too. You can pick up for like $3 or $4 a pop. Oh my gosh, man! Some of them are crazy fun
I'm
too.
I'm looking right here. There's 16 hours left. Chivalry, Medieval Warfare, 75% off.
Oh,
it's $6.24. Just Cause 2, 80% off, $2.99. Sniper 2, Ghost Warrior, 85% off, $4.49. The Walking Dead, 75% off, $6.24.
XCOM, Civ 5,
FTL,
Fez, a bunch of indie games. Don't Starve.
Darksiders 2 is 80% off for $9.99.
Legend of Grimrock is on sale. Yeah, definitely pop out to Steam and pick up a bunch.
Yeah, I just saw it. Far Cry 3, 40% off, $23.99. Grand Theft Auto 4, 75% off, $4.99. So,
Skyrim.
We're almost out of time. Thank everybody for tuning in this week. Thank Tony V for helping me out this week again. See you all next week. As I always say, don't stop believing and fight the good fight. Oh, damn it, we're out of time. Damn it.
If you miss one of the sales, hang out until the end of the Steam sale period, and they may put it back up again in the closeout.
Okay. Yeah, because I saw something for yesterday's sales. Hold on, where is it? Yesterday's big sale. Oh, yesterday's big deals, and it's like just under 16 hours remaining on those. Well, Bioshock Infinite, 50% off. Defiant, 66% off. I want to play that game.
Does that have a monthly fee?
I don't know.
Or is it free to play? Or
I think you have to buy the game itself. I never got re-up my Xbox Live account, and now all these good things are on Xbox Live, so.
Are you going to get an Xbox One, or are you the, the characters are watching me kind of?
I hear now, because of the negative feedback on that, they're getting rid of it.
They're getting rid of what?
That whole thing that the cameras are watching you.
I don't know. You know, I don't care. I mean, Microsoft isn't going to... You got to understand...
Drape a piece of cloth over your Kinect.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was saying. Just throw something over it, damn it. How
they're going to sell, you know, they're going to sell how many millions of these boxes? And to me, it's kind of ludicrous to think that there's somebody at Microsoft sitting there, like, watching you. Or even some automated system. I could understand why some people might think. I mean, there are some things I'm sure. I don't know. I just don't buy the whole paranoid, you know, they're always watching you kind of thing. I'm not that worried about it. And like I said, you know, my plan is just every once in a while I'm going to go down there and play completely naked. And that way, if they are watching, at least they'll have something, you know, something worth watching. But
over on lifehacker.com, there's an article about getting the most out of the Steam sale.
Okay, well, I'm just looking here at Defiance on sale on Steam. There are four different packages you could buy. One is a standard edition for $13.59. The deluxe edition is $23.79. The standard edition four-pack, what is that? Oh, it's four copies, and you give three copies to your friends. So that's $40.09. So I guess if you and three other friends want to chip in like $10 and change each, you can each get a copy of the game and play together. And then there's a deluxe edition upgrade for $10.19, but you need the original game for that. And then there's a Defiant Season Pass for $29.99.
Season Pass?
I'm reading it right now. The Defiant Season Pass is the ultimate content package for the true Ark Hunter. Players who want to save big on the first five DLC packs rolling out after launch, gamers will get a massive amount of content, including a new playable alien species, new weapons and vehicles, missions and rewards, plus... I don't know what else it said. Plus what? Plus two bonus items, an exclusive Hellbug hat, and a lockbox. I don't know what that means. But
there are basically four types of sales that Steam is running. There's the broad store-wide discount that any game not released in the past 6 months gets. There are daily deals where selected games are on sale for 24 to 48 hours. These get a deeper discount in the 50 to 75% range. There are the flash sales where selected games are on sale for 12 to 14 hours. And there is a community deal where Steam users vote for one of three games to get a discount. Those last for about a day. And the rules they have are don't buy a game unless it's a daily deal or a flash sale, because the titles will likely go further on sale somewhere before the end of the week and you'll miss out on a deeper discount. Because if it doesn't go on sale, you can always pick it up on the last day for the same discount it had on the first day.
Cool.
And if you miss your favorite game as a daily deal or flash sale, wait until the end of the week for the encore sale, where the most popular daily deals and flash sales come back at the same discount.
Oh, very cool.
But Skyrim. I never played Skyrim, and I might have to pick up a copy. That's 25% off right now.
My nephew's playing it on PS3, and he loves it. He's down in Florida this week, and he says the one thing he doesn't like is he can't play Skyrim, but he's having a lot of fun in Florida. So I said, yeah, enjoy your time in Florida.
Is to buy bundles whenever you find them if it has what you want in them.
Yeah, because I bought the Civilization V expansion bundle today. Like $10, and it's got every single, you know, all the added civilizations and all that stuff. But I'm right in the middle of a game right now, so I can't, like, restart it. I'm playing Washington, and I'm sitting here beating up on the Persians. So
cool.
There's a Steam app for Android and iOS you can use to help track the sales, too.
So pick up Civilization V and add me on your Steam.
What is your – hold on. Let me find my Steam name. Hold on a second. Well, it should be my name, right? I'm Pogo Thulu there. So if you guys want to add me, just leave a message.
Well, let's see if I can't. Let's see. You all friends. Search. What is it again?
Pogo Thulu.
Like POGOTHULU?
Correct.
Well, let's see.
I should be online. I'm there now, so.
Let's see. I guess I can't do it from their little pop-up interface in the game. Let me see. Friends. Da 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 da. Where's the search? Da 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 da. Add a friend. You got a friend. Search. Is that you? Add as a friend?
Don't know.
Are you level
Wait,
one?
It says I'm level one. It says I'm offline. I don't know why it says I'm offline.
Well, I just clicked add a friend, and it says friend invite sent. So.
Okay. I will check in a moment.
Recent game activity. Champions Online.
Yes.
Last played May 19th, 2013.
When did it say it was on? Maybe because it says I'm on offline mode. I don't know why, though. I'm online.
What about you, Sean? Are you on Steam?
Yep. My login there is SR Malloy.
Is what?
SR Malloy, just like my chat login.
SR Malloy, right?
Well, that's fine. Cause why am I not online?
Are you Shiva?
Let me log in and check here.
Yeah, you're in San Diego, right?
Right. Right.
Are you a Chargers fan?
Go Chargers and take the damn Padres with you.
You're not a Chargers fan. That's too bad. You know, we got a good running back from you guys several years ago, Michael Turner. And then we just released him this year, so we got a new running back now. We got, what's his name, from the Rams,
Steven
Jackson.
Jackson, yeah. I think we'll have a good season.
I think we'll have an awesome season.
No, I meant
but,
Steven
yeah.
Jackson, just because he hasn't...
But I will say this about the Chargers, though. They have the best-looking cheerleaders in the NFL, bar none. That's just all there is to it.
Out of the jaws of victory.
Well, you know, you guys had several good years, though. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but the Chargers still haven't learned the lesson the Padres did, is you wait until you have a winning season before you ask the city to fund a new stadium for you.
That's right.
Well, they're trying to get Atlanta to fund a new stadium for the Falcons, but hey, we have had a bunch of winning seasons. So, we were 15 minutes from the Super Bowl last year, 15 minutes, and they let San Francisco come back and beat them. I was so mad. 15 minutes, and we would have been playing the Ravens. Oh my gosh, man. I wanted us so bad to play the Ravens in the Super Bowl because I think we could have beaten them.
Oh, they played very good at the beginning of the game until the lights went out.
It was even a stadium that we're used to playing in because the Saints are in our division. We play down there, you know, every single
year.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
So, yeah, we could have beaten them in the dark.
Oh, how do I get out of offline mode? This is getting annoying now.
I don't know, man. I'm not a Steam expert. Let's see. I don't know. You'll have to figure that out.
Huh.
Currently in game. It shows me as in game in Civ 5 because I've got it running in the background there.
Oh, you know what it is? I think it doesn't show me playing Champions online because I don't run it through Steam.
Well, there you go.
I have it on its own individual. But that's why I thought it was funny that it says I haven't played since May because I was just on last weekend. So.
That's what makes you a bad person.
No. It just doesn't want to run through Steam, so.
So there's other stuff that makes you a bad person.
Like Lord of the Rings Online, I don't know why I play, but it doesn't say I played on here. The only thing that's accurate is I last played The Secret World on December 28th.
I miss Susie.
I know she was going to be on. She was supposed to be, but she had a rough. I just talked to her Tuesday night. She was helping me do my Tuesday night show.
Tell her I asked about her.
I definitely will. And I have to get off of here in 20 minutes because we have to set up for the next show. She's supposed to be hosting the next show. I thought I was going to help her with that tonight, but she can't make that one. And so I said I would host.
What's the next show about?
It's at Unstoppable Wrestling, but we were going to joke around and talk about fantasy football because last summer we did a fantasy football league with people who play wrestler. I won that. So that's what that show's going to be about.
Well, pick Julio Jones and Matt Ryan. And
well, I had Steven Jackson on my team last season. Yeah, I picked him up, but he didn't do much.
Well, he'll do better this year because he's got a better wide receiver core to sort of.
I'm allowed to keep two keepers. I had Ray Rice, Marshawn Lynch, and I had both Mannings on my quarterbacks. So between those four alone, I'm thinking of keeping two of those guys. So I don't know who I'm keeping. So.
Well,
it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be.
Well, I'll go ahead and disconnect then. But yeah, if you want to throw down with Civ 5 sometime, give me a holler.
We disconnect from what? What are you going to disconnect from?
From Skype.
Oh, you can hang out. We got 20 minutes.
Oh.
9:30. I got to hang out this call.
So. You're kind of boring me though.
Why am I boring you? What the hell, man?
I'm just kidding.
Wow. Pardon me. I don't even know how to get into my. Oh my god!
So do they archive all these shows?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So could I go back and like listen to myself and you know from last September or something?
If you were on last September, sure. from what I heard, we're available on iTunes for free.
Really?
Yeah. Or if you have a Blog Talk account, you go into Blog Talk, type in the name of the show, and I think it'll list all the archives. But it won't tell you what happened on those shows, so.
So.
You have to know the date of the show. Like, if you want to listen to this one, next week this is the 7/12 episode, so.
Can't you, like, go in and put a summary or something?
I'm sure we could. We don't. I don't know how it works, though.
Oh,
I just remember now we have it on iTunes. I don't go back and listen to myself. I hate the sound of my voice, so.
Okay, wow.
Like, I could find them, like, I know, like, the episode when Mercedes Lackey called in to the show, that was one of our highest ratings shows. I go back and look for that before the closing date, so I'll know that that was the one. I know the first time you called in, that we had over 1,000 listeners.
Well, that was, like, during the whole shutdown thing.
Right, that was, like, the first major show.
1,000 listeners.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. Hold on, I will go.
No way.
Well, archives. I kid you not. Hold on. I'm trying to find this. That was what? That was like November or October?
Sure.
Okay. No, I think that was November.
Okay.
Hold on. Hmm.
Maybe it was September?
I don't know.
Well, that's odd. I don't see it. And that wasn't August. I was thinking it was October.
I hope James thinks Codewalker. We could definitely use another Sea Guru or two on
All right, here it is. September 13th, 1,125 archive listeners to that episode.
Nifty.
And yep. And that is by far the most archive listens we have to any show on this network. And that was a show you were on. That was the first time we did the show. Yeah, that was the first time we did the show, and you were on, and you were answering everybody's questions that they had about, you know, what was going on, the task force and all that stuff.
Well, I'm honored.
Yep. That was the one that put the show on the map.
I bet this show won't have 1,000 listeners.
This one? Oh, tonight's show? No.
Something to get a big crowd back together.
No, that's what I thought the Mercedes Lackey one would, because I know the last night when I was in AP33, people were asking me in broadcast, can I post the link for the show? When Mercedes was on, so I'm surprised that one didn't get more.
Well,
I think that was in November. I'm just going to check November episodes.
I feel bad for her. I think she got a little burned out. Plus, she had a bunch of bad stuff happen over the
month
or so.
And you know what's sad, too? She was devastated when Trade passed away, too.
Oh, yeah. Her mom died, and then her mother-in-law died. And then Trade passed away, and she had somebody, tried to steal all of her money from her savings account. And she's kind of been through the... Yeah, someone
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, someone stole her account number or something, or debit card like that. And tried to empty out her account. She had to go through, filing police reports and all that kind of crap. And
did she have any idea who it was?
I don't know. But, I think she eventually, she got the money back eventually. I don't know if they caught who did it or not. I haven't talked to her lately, but... even if they did, that's just such a hassle having to go through, getting police reports and taking care of all that stuff when you're also dealing with deaths in the family. And I felt really bad for her because she had a whole bunch of stuff hit, like, all at once.
Damn. All right, while we're here, I'm trying to find the one when she... Because I know the night that she was on, we mentioned in the thing that she was going to be on, so... That wasn't it.
Oh, random bit of trivia from Pacific Rim. Have you played Portal?
No.
Yes, I love that game.
I always wanted to.
Ellen McLean does the AI voice for one of the Jaegers.
That's got to be freaky.
Right in the middle of the film, and that voice comes up, and you know something bad's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
Does it win its battle? Because if it wins its battle, you got to be sitting there thinking, this is a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. I tell you what, that game was... one of the most fun games I think I have ever played in my life. I had heard a lot about it, and I didn't actually play the game until like 2 or 3 years after it was released. And, everybody was, they had the sort of the arrow to the knee meme, but of course it was, the cake is a lie and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
I knew about the cake is a lie, but I never played Portal yet.
So I had heard that, and I kind of sort of, I knew it was really popular, and one day it was on sale, so I picked it up and started playing it. I'm like, this is the best game ever. I played the whole thing through, like, in one day, just because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't tear myself away from it. And then when the end credits rolled, I'm like, this is the best end credits ever.
Oh.
Cool game.
Go out to YouTube and look up GLaDOS Writes to Celestia.
I'll check it out. You know, I've seen some people have made like a...
There's a version of it where they converted her...
Somebody made like a... Yeah.
She pulled a letter from GLaDOS to Princess Celestia at a convention, and it is hilarious.
I'll check it out. You know, people have made like fan videos of Shell, I guess it is, from the character who you're playing, and some of them are really good. One of the fan videos I watched, it was hilarious because they had like two ports. She was sitting in a corner, and she had like a portal on either wall, like the one behind her and the one beside her. And she had stuck her arm through the one beside her and was scratching her back. It was pretty funny.
Okay, now I feel jealous. I never played this game.
Portal?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Pick up Portal and Portal 2. I guarantee you it's worth your while. You'll love it. It's much better than Cats. I'm going to play it again and again.
It's an extremely bent puzzle-solving game.
Cool.
And GLaDOS is hilarious. I laughed so hard at the stuff she'd say.
And Wheatley from Portal 2. I mean, God.
Yeah, who did the voice of... What was that, like Stephen Merchant or somebody like that did Wheatley?
Let's see.
I have no idea.
Definitely pick up the Portal games. You will not be disappointed.
I will try.
TV's 2011 Video Game Awards.
And the thing that made it so fun is it was so original, you know? And that's what you know, people are like, oh, you got to play, you know, Far Cry, or you got to play Call of Duty. It's like, you know, I've played these games before, not that exact game, but, you know, you've played one, you've played them all, right? Well, Portal, there's like nothing like it. Like Skyrim. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's a good game, but at the same time, you know, I've played single-player RPGs before. I'm sure it's a good story, and it probably has great mechanics and gameplay and all that stuff, but... At the same time, it's not like a truly original game, and Portal really kind of was. Still is.
Cool. I just like the idea of the Portal gun.
The Portal gun's awesome.
I will take your word for it. But it's not as cool as a dance gun.
No, it's not as cool as a dance gun, but, you know, who knows? Maybe someday they'll build a combo portal / dance gun.
Where you go through the portal and you start dancing?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
What if you shot a portal gun at a person?
I don't know.
People don't have the right surface to generate a portal.
So you think it would just, you know, dissipate?
No, it would go past them until they hit a wall.
Oh, you think it'd go through them?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of, you know, an extra-dimensional portal opening up on the front of someone's chest. I mean, the thing is the portal doesn't actually hurt the wall or the stuff behind the wall. So presumably if it did hit someone and a portal opened up on your chest, it'd look freaky, but you should be fine, right? I mean,
right.
But I think Sean's right because, you know, you can't shoot portals at most uneven surfaces.
Oh, okay. Well, I never tried it, so.
Well, now you have something to look forward to.
I know in the Rookery we made fun of the portal on a few times.
Maybe it'll go on sale for Steam's summer sale.
Oh, damn it. Now I'm going to check. Damn yous! Alright. Search the store for Portal 2. $9.99.
Hey, that's pretty
Portal,
good.
Portal $4.99. Oh,
ooh, that's excellent.
Oh, no.
The two-player Portal 2 game is a trip. Oh, my gosh, man. A buddy and I sat there and worked through the Portal 2, and it was intense.
Was it really? Damn it. I want to go to GameStop. Is it available for Xbox 360?
I'm sure it is.
I'm going to look this up right now.
I know Portal 1 is because I played it on the 360.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to type it in like this. Xbox. See, I don't like the Xbox One because of the starting price for it, which I think is ridiculous. That's why I'm not even trying to, I don't think I'm going to try and get it this year.
But I don't know if you have, like, the 360 version of Portal 2, we probably can't play with each other.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Can you play with, I mean, the multiplayer, does it work across from 360 to Steam?
Oh, no, no. All right, man, I'll have to get it for Steam. Yeah, because Portal 2 right here on at GameStop, Portal 2 for Xbox 360, pre-owned, $39.99.
Yikes. Don't do that.
I'm not doing that at all. And I don't see anything for Portal 1. So.
Steam it is?
I guess so. I'm looking here for under $20. No, $14.99, they have Portal Still Alive, Xbox 360 Live Marketplace, 1,200 points. I guess that's an add-on.
It's probably like a compilation of the original game and some downloadable content or something.
Well, the Hell's Games, though. I've had it. I'm not looking there. All right, guys, we got about a minute left, 9:30. I got to get out of here because we have to start getting ready for the next show.
Okay.
If you want to stick around...
I'll probably pass. I got to go to the restroom, and I'm dead tired, too.
People.
It'd be us and our wrestler unstoppable characters anyway, so talking for 90 minutes.
Okay.
So,
well,
if you want to stick around, if you want to stick around and listen, you're more than welcome to.
I think I'll play Civilization 5.
All right, yes. You just bought that for what, $4.99? I don't know what you paid.
Just one more turn.
One more turn? Okay.
That's what you said 5 turns ago, yeah.
Yeah. Just one more turn. Just one more. I know a friend of mine, he was a cop. I haven't talked to him in ages. But he used to take weekends off just to play new PC games that came out.
I'm guilty of that myself.
Oh, I was guilty when I started playing Warcraft. I got the Battle Chest. I got 1 and 2. And I played the first one, and I didn't stop playing. So just one more game. Just one more game.
I've taken vacation days when new issues hit in City of Heroes.
Oh, yeah, I did that. Well, actually, it was weird, like, not intentionally, but I used to get, like, pneumonia all the time. So I was out of work for a few days, and it was always, like, I'm sorry, when I had pneumonia, I got a bed, I was out for, like, a month, and it was always right around double XP weekend. But it was intentional. It wasn't intentional because the medicine they put me on, I got insomnia, and I thought it was great. I got it for double XP weekend, but then afterwards, like, all right, this is ridiculous now. Because I just got sicker and sicker.
Laptop.
What was that?
Just got the ship notice on the laptop I ordered.
Oh, cool.
Cool. All right, guys.
Well, all right, we are out of here. All right, yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. See you next week. Tony V, thank you for helping out again this week. Hopefully you'll be back next week.
I'll try.
All right, very cool. I'll be in touch with you during the week, because I know this week I wasn't feeling good this week. I didn't get in touch with you until like an hour and a half before the show started, or an hour before the show started. So.
So,
all right. I'm ending the show, guys. For those of you who are listening, thank you all. if you can, don't forget next weekend is the San Diego Comic-Con. None of us are going to be there, but if anybody's going and want to give a call in, let us know how the con's going. Unfortunately, we didn't hear from anybody who is at KCON this weekend. But again, if you're going this weekend, please get in touch with us next weekend. Let us know how it was. We'll see you all next week. Like I always say, don't stop fighting, don't stop believing, and keep fighting a good fight. See you all next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodnight, Gracie.